Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Longer lives, new challenges.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. Millions of Americans are caught in a credit card squeeze.
I had some really good rates before, and all of a sudden they've gone up.
Today, executives of the credit card companies have been summoned to the White House for a sit-down. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has the story.
President Obama will use the meeting to call for new rules of the road for the credit card industry, mandatory standards unless the companies voluntarily enact changes in policies involving interest rates and late fees. Spokesman Robert Gibbs says the president will insist that
any system that is involving fees is done in a way that is fair.
White House officials say the president hopes for an open and productive conversation on his views on the need to clean up industry practices and end what he sees as unfair procedures. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
Well, lawmakers are taking up a measure that greatly tightens regulations on who can offer mortgages and the qualifications of the borrowers. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports from Capitol Hill.
The House Financial Services Committee is considering a bill to put tough new rules on home mortgages to try to prevent the kind of mortgage meltdown that triggered the worldwide economic mess. The measure being examined in today's hearing would require that mortgage brokers be licensed and only offer mortgages to people that they can afford to pay. Refinancing offers would have to benefit the borrower, and those selling mortgages couldn't be paid more for convincing people to take more expensive loans.
The summertime blues are ahead for General Motors employees and companies that rely on the automaker for their livelihood. Jeff Gilbert of CBS station WWJ reports on the shutdown of most GM plants in the coming months.
It's going to be a long, jobless summer for GM workers.
Certainly hurt me if I was down for 9 weeks.
I'll just have to rely on the unemployment for a little bit.
The unprecedented shutdown shows GM believes car and truck sales will stay depressed for a while, and they don't want to be caught with too many unsold 09 models.
Short-term pain is probably very necessary for a long-term gain.
David Cole heads the Center for Auto Research. GM is also making permanent job cuts. 1,600 people let go this week alone.
I'm Jim Taylor. A summer without General Motors, Katie Kerwin, editor of the Auto Beat Daily, says it'll impact a lot more than GM.
If you get a domino effect from the suppliers, then we're talking a serious problem to the economy.
Can Chrysler be saved without going bankrupt?
You can get there without a bankruptcy if everybody is cooperative.
That's Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. She wants the government and the banks to do more to keep the car maker out of bankruptcy. Treasury Department is now proposing Chrysler lenders accept 22% of the nearly $7 billion they are owed in exchange for a 5% equity stake in the company. Nick?
There's word from Baghdad this morning that a suicide bomber has struck with deadly effect. Police say at least 28 people have been killed, 50 others wounded. The attack targeted a group of police officers who were helping distribute relief supplies. An attack in Bakuba has killed at least 7 and injured 25. President Obama has promised more transparency, and the Transportation Secretary is delivering on a controversial decision by one of his agencies. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
A spokeswoman at the Transportation Department says Secretary Ray LaHood, until recently a Republican congressman, by the way, overruled the FAA. The Federal Aviation Administration had decided not to release information on how often birds have been sucked into aircraft engines and how often those collisions have been dangerous. The attention to this comes from the dramatic splashdown 3 months ago of a U.S. Airways jet on the Hudson River after a bird strike over New York. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Time on the roundup is 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado lawmakers have passed a budget for next year that will preserve money for higher education. Democrats didn't like $15 million in cuts for health clinics for the uninsured, but ultimately voted for it anyway. Republicans criticized the budget committee for not cutting enough and for relying on new taxes on cigarettes and vending machine snacks. A jury has found a Thornton man guilty of first-degree murder in the beating death of a transgender woman. The jury deliberated 2 hours before returning the verdict against Alan Andrade. The case is the first prosecution under Colorado's bias crimes statute. The conviction is being applauded by the Anti-Defamation League.
Murder, of course, is never justified, and that Angie Zapata was a human being, a person who deserves the protection of our laws, just like anybody else.
Bruce Dubosky with the Mountain States Office of the ADL says the verdict underscores the importance of a federal hate crimes law now under consideration in Congress. Authorities say a man used an officer's gun to shoot and kill himself after he was placed in custody for allegedly attempting to strangle a woman to death in Springfield. The Baca County Sheriff's Office says Damian Greenlee grabbed a gun while he was in a Springfield police officer's vehicle. The Sheriff's Office says the officer was inside the home where the woman was attacked when Greenlee shot himself. Sports: Nuggets beat New Orleans 108-93. They hold a two-game lead in the best-of-seven series, 2-0. Game 3 in New Orleans on Saturday night. And the Rocks lose to Arizona 2-0. They're back home off today. Then the Dodgers visit Coors Field this weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
It's a decent start to this morning's commute. There's no crashes or stalls to get in your way. We're seeing volume start to build in those usual spots like I-25 downtown, as well as on I-70. This is east of I-25 as you're making your way past the Coliseum. But again, no significant delays. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, be sure to keep your Toyota running smoothly with regularly scheduled maintenance.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Showbiz.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
Showbiz.
Is out, and he'll be here in Denver speaking at the Tattered Cover in Lodo. And I think I'll be there tonight, or I'm going to try to be there. Sometimes I, after this show, I end up crashing. So tired. I've got an update on Jay. Everyone's been asking about it, and I'm going to read you pieces of this, this Westward story that's up on Westward's blog. That's by Michael Roberts. In late February, J. Marvin, morning host for Progressive Talk, AM 760, had his gallbladder removed, surgery that's generally considered to be rather minor, but almost 2 months later, he still hasn't returned to the microphone, and while substitutes have done an able job filling in, his impassioned presence on the airwaves is definitely missed. Unfortunately, Marvin's return isn't imminent. According to Mary Marvin, Jay's wife, he's scheduled to undergo a series of tests, and this was yesterday, that are intended to identify a large mass near his spinal column, one of several serious health concerns that have surfaced since the initial procedure. Mary says that on February 28th, Jay began exhibiting flu-like symptoms, and in the days that followed, his right side kept hurting more and more. Then on the night of the 3rd, I brought him into the emergency room. They did all these tests and removed his gallbladder. Jay remained in the hospital for a week after surgery before returning home. But Mary noted that he was in a lot of pain. The pain was much different and it got worse. And as a result, he returned to the hospital where Mary says he was diagnosed with hepatitis. This story is up on Westward's blog. And the bottom line is that we don't know when Jay's going to come back. And they're doing all these tests and we'll keep everybody updated as we can. And that's why I've always been saying, Jay, we're pulling for you. So everyone send out good thoughts to Jay today. It's the next couple of days will be important when they come back with these tests. So we're all pulling for you, Jay. Okay, so some local news here. Let's do a local news rundown. We'll do a national news rundown, and I'll throw out the first topic of the day. Denver Post reports that financial backers of In Denver Times and many of its employees, former staff members of the Rocky Mountain News, are parting ways after a meeting Wednesday night. The employees want to go on with the site and will search for new backers, business writer David Milstead said after the meeting. But this does not bode well for another publication in town. Denver Post, Denver Councilman Chris Nevitt today said Mayor John Hickenlooper gave him the green light to move forward on a worker retention ordinance. But Nevitt said Hickenlooper is now caving to business pressure. The mayor this week sought to sideline the proposed ordinance, which is scheduled to come before the full council on Monday. The issue has divided the labor community and the business community. The mayor this week sided with business leaders. Huh, I'm shocked. Shocked that a politician in Colorado and a Democratic elected official in Colorado would side with business leaders over labor. Shocking. In doing so, the mayor risks further alienating labor leaders who've never been part of his base in the first place. Of course, it depends on who you talk to as to whether that's a bad place to be politically. This is the Denver Post again. The ordinance would require the winning bidders on city service contracts to keep for at least 90 days the employees of the previous contract holder. So this is a big deal coming down the Denver City Council. Mayor siding with corporate interests, Chris Nevitt pushing a labor bill. Let's try to get him on. Let's try to get Chris Nevitt on at some point. Talk about this bill. The vote is up for Monday, so I'll try to get him on. A last-ditch effort to allow police to stop drivers for not wearing their seatbelts is underway in hopes of luring $20 million in federal funds to the state. State Representative Joe Rice, who we will have on later this morning, said that in the past he sponsored seatbelt bills because they save lives, but this time part of his motive is federal transportation dollars offered to states as an incentive for tougher seatbelt laws. The bill by Rice and Senate President Pro Tem Betty Boyd is scheduled to be introduced this week. Rice and Boyd said they were also worried that when federal traffic funds are reauthorized, the incentive money would be gone and instead Colorado would be penalized for not having tougher seatbelt laws. So they're really trying to get in the car. The government is state government is really trying to get in the car. You know, we got the cell phone bill up, now we got the seatbelt bill. They both sound pretty good to me. Foreclosure activity in Metro Denver declined at one of the fastest rates in the nation during the first quarter. That's good news. Poll, Michael Bennett not wowing voters. If voters didn't know newly appointed Senator Michael Bennett in January, a new survey suggests a bigger problem. As they get to know him, they don't like the job he's doing. Though Bennett's been in office less than 3 full months, 41% of likely voters said they disapproved of his job performance, compared with 34% who approved. So those are not good numbers for Michael Bennett. Denver Business Journal, Highlands Ranch and Centennial are among the 250 most affluent cities in the United States. Colorado's new oil and gas rules, which took effect April 1st, became law Wednesday when Governor Bill Ritter signed House Bill 1292, approving all rules put forward by state agencies in the last year. That's very good news. Finally, they passed the Colorado oil and gas rules. We're going to be talking to Joe Rice, State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton. He is pushing House Bill 1358, which would create a health care authority to develop a system with the intent of requiring, mandating all Coloradans obtain individual health care policies. This is like the Massachusetts plan. So we're going to have State Representative Joe Rice on to talk about that bill. A bill that would have offered incentives for the state, Colorado, to use American-made steel in public works project has died at the hands of a Colorado House committee. The bill would have allowed Colorado to award contracts as much as 25% higher than the low bid if a company used only American-produced steel. So the House votes down economic patriotism. Interesting story on 9 News. It's not your typical everything-must-go garage sale. A new trend called pre-foreclosure or foreclosure sales offer deals for some, but often cost taxpayers thousands of dollars, according to mortgage experts. The sales offer everything from the kitchen sink to countertops, cabinets, toilets, the hot water heater, and the furnace from a home. Homeowners hold the sales ahead of foreclosure in an attempt to make money before they leave the house. And some loans require the government to cover the loss when a homeowner defaults on a loan. Interesting story there. National news. Support grows for inquiry into Wall Street woes. It's the New York Times. There's a move afoot in Congress to emulate the famous Pecora Commission, which investigated Wall Street speculatory collapses during the Great Depression, to create a 9/11-style commission to publicly look at what happened in the meltdown on Wall Street. I hope that happens. We need that. With solid majorities in both houses of Congress, this is a health care story. Democrats are tempted to use their political muscle to speed passage of health care legislation, federal health care legislation, with minimal concessions to the Republican minority. So they're basically talking right now in the Senate of using this budget process to bypass a filibuster and allow health care reform to pass with only 51 votes, which I think is the right way to go. Washington Post, Condoleezza Rice, John Ashcroft, and other top Bush administration officials approved as early as the summer of 2002 the CIA's use at secret prisons of quote-unquote harsh interrogation methods, including waterboarding. And I put this on my Twitter, and this is what I feel. The media calling torture, quote, harsh interrogation measures is like somebody calling rape surprise sex. I mean, really. This Orwellian desire to whitewash torture is so ridiculous. Harsh interrogation measures. It's torture. Economic news. GM to shut most U.S. plants up to 9 weeks. General Motors is planning to temporarily close most of its U.S. factories for up to 9 weeks this summer because of slumping sales and growing inventories of unsold vehicles. This is from one of my favorite websites here, GamePolitics.com. As I told you, I'm a gamer. GamePolitics.com, a great website. Baby-shaking iPhone game sparks controversy. An iPhone iPod Touch game in which the player attempts to stop a baby from crying by violently shaking the motion-sensitive handheld device is causing a stir. iTunes has removed the game, which has caused a backlash from game developers who say Apple shouldn't be in the business of deciding what games are okay and what games are not okay. I mean, that I don't know where I come down yet on that. I mean, a game that makes fun of shaking babies is a little too much. This is really a sick story here. The Huffington Post. At a time when New York Times managers are forcing all employees to take a 5% cut and demanding even larger sacrifices from the New York Times-owned Boston Globe and the unions that work there, top executives of the newspaper receive substantial bonus and fringe benefit payments over and above their salaries. I mean, it's just everywhere. The greed is just everywhere, even at the newspapers. It's really disgusting. And then finally, off the national wire, large insurers are lobbying Congress to free them from a web of tough state regulatory rules by adding a new federal insurance regulator and letting the companies choose which rules to obey. So this is, it's incredible. The insurance companies help collapse the economy, and they see an opportunity for federal quote-unquote reform to usurp the power of the states to regulate the insurance industry. Basically a deregulatory push. As Noam Chomsky has always said, you know, whenever you hear the politician use the word reform, get scared. It usually means taxpayers are going to get screwed. 620, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm going to hold off on throwing out the topic of the morning. You have to stick around past the break. I'm going to tell you about it after the break. It's about a pretty controversial bill. I want to know your take on a pretty controversial bill that just passed in Colorado that I mentioned briefly yesterday. And it's about civil liberties. It's about law enforcement. It's a pretty interesting issue. I think you're going to be interested about it, in it. And we're also going to talk in this hour to Tom Hartman, friend of the show, friend of mine personally. And he's going to tell us about, he's coming here for Green Festival. We'll talk to him in this hour. So stick around. I'm not going to throw out the phone number until I throw out the topic of the day after the break. First, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic's pretty nice for us as you're getting out on the freeways around town. Our heaviest jams right now, southbound 25 in that normal spot, North Glen, 104th Avenue, also busy, leaving Aurora on southbound 225 anyway, first from Colfax to Alameda, and again after DTC Boulevard approaching the Denver Tech Center there at the I-25 interchange. Also checking some late construction. One lane of either direction of Arapahoe Road is open between Colorado and Holly. Got some grading work going on there and some pole installations, so do expect some delays there in Centennial. But a pretty nice drive going for us right now. Your forecast, also nice. Mostly sunny, a high around 80. Right now, 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now you can save even more when you shop at King Soopers. They've just lowered prices on dozens of...
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds warning depend on number of entries. As May 16th, each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
One tree can absorb as much carbon in a year as a car produces while driving 26,000 miles. Creekside Tree Nursery celebrates the tree at their season opening April 24th. Creekside Tree Nursery has the highest quality stock with the best selection and best prices in all of Boulder County. Visit them online at creeksideboulder.com. Then visit their season opening April 24th, just east of Boulder City on 61st between Valmont and J Road. Or call Jason and Shannon at 303-668-7647.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond. The ideal cut diamond is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
The winner of American Idol.
You are evicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
5480, 800-670-5480.
624, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, here's the topic. The story is kind of crazy, actually. We go beneath the big headlines. You can get the big headlines somewhere else. Here we talk, we try to do as much local as we can. And this is in the Fort Collins, Colorado, and I mentioned this yesterday briefly, but this is a really interesting issue. A new law signed by Governor Bill Ritter on Tuesday aims to give drivers more warning when cities decide to use photo radar systems to monitor traffic speeds and red light violations. Senate Bill 222, sponsored by Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg, requires conspicuous signs to be placed at least 300 feet in advance of radar emplacements monitoring traffic speeds, and similar signs no closer than 200 feet in front of red light cameras. Lundberg said the red light cameras, said he created the law requiring warning signs. And on Tuesday, he felt some cities weren't giving motorists the fair warning he intended with the first law, the 2004 law. The intent of the law is to let people know it's there. Drivers in Fort Collins have repeatedly complained to the Fort Collins Coloradan that signs for photo radar vans are sometimes hard to spot because they aren't very large in comparison with other road warning signs. In 2008, according to city statistics, just in Fort Collins, nearly 14,000 drivers received photo radar citations. Okay, so here's the question. If you're going to have a speed trap, right, if you're going to have a red light camera to stop speeding or ticket speeders, doesn't a sign before it warning drivers about it, doesn't that defeat the whole purpose? I mean, doesn't that mean that a driver who is a general speeder or a general red light runner, aren't you giving them warning that at this particular light or at this particular part of the road, you should slow down or obey the law, but later on, if you're not warned, you should do whatever you want? In other words, doesn't this law, this warning law, I mean, I guess it's good for speeders and if you're going to run a red light, but doesn't it defeat the whole purpose? And I throw this question out there. I ask this question and I don't necessarily want to get into a debate, although I guess we can, about whether cameras at red lights are fair, or those automated speeding vans that ticket you. I've gotten a ticket from one of them. You know, where they just ticket you, but they don't know who's in the car. There's that issue about whether those are an infringement on civil liberties, et cetera, et cetera. But the issue here is if you're going to have those things, if the goal is to stop speeding, don't you think warning people that a speed trap is coming defeats the whole purpose? We got open phone lines, 303-713-7600. Again, a new bill in Colorado would mandate big warnings, bigger signage to warn you about a speed trap or one of those cameras at a red light. And my question is, doesn't that defeat the whole law enforcement purpose? Or maybe it doesn't defeat the whole law enforcement purpose. Maybe the purpose is, like, you know, if you put a sign up there, it'll kind of compel you to slow down in that particular location. Maybe that's the whole goal. I don't know. Turk and I were talking in the break, and he says he's basically opposed to all this stuff. All the stuff that's true. The government's getting in your car.
Yeah, I don't like the cell phone bill. I don't like the seatbelt bill.
What about this bill?
This one, you know, hey, fine, give me warning.
You want a warning.
You know what I'd like? You know what I think would solve all this? Put more speed limit signs out there, make them a little bigger, because half the time you don't even know how fast you're supposed to be going.
You want the speed limit signs.
Maybe a little bigger.
To be bigger. Okay.
You know, but yeah, I wouldn't mind the warning.
You want the warning.
A physical police officer to hand me a ticket when I'm speeding. I don't want to get a picture in the mail.
Why?
It shouldn't be the way the whole justice system works, though.
I mean, I think there's a better benefit of getting photographed in that you don't get points on your license. Because they can't prove that it's you.
Right, they just give you the fine.
They just give you the fine. The points on the license, and then your insurance can go up.
Well, so if you're a millionaire, you might as well speed everywhere. If they're going to, you know, you can take care of this $20 ticket, it doesn't matter. You don't have a fear of losing
your
license.
I mean, that's definitely true. That's a whole separate issue. But my issue is, if you're going to try to enforce speed limits and intersection laws, giving people a warning, doesn't that defeat the whole purpose? Doesn't that just let people sort of slow down when they see the warning and then speed right back up? I think it's just bizarre. In other words, I thought the whole point of a speed trap is for it to be kind of secret and stealthy. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. We got open phone lines. 303-713-7600. Buzz in Lakewood, what do you think?
Hey, David, how you doing? I think it's absurd to put a sign to warn you that there's a stealth device there. I don't know if I agree with whether we should have them or not. In some ways, I think they're just revenue generators. Although they are trying to, I'm sure they're trying to reduce the speeding. To me, I think that the speed limit signs are the warning. Like here, it's 30 miles an hour.
Right, don't go faster than 30 miles an hour, right.
Or, you know, hey, the light's yellow. You're not, remember that, what was that movie that woman Karen Allen, or she was, met this alien, and it was...
Starman.
What, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, Starman.
Yeah, and she's finally lets him drive the car.
Right.
And he's driving along, and a yellow light goes yellow, and he floors it. And she's going, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, right.
And he's going, well, I learned from you. But, I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. I actually think those cameras work. When I got a ticket on the camera on Monaco, coming down on Monaco, down to the studio here, this was like maybe, I don't know, a year ago, and I saw this big flash go off. There was no warning sign.
Right.
I got a ticket. I was going, 8-9 miles over the speed limit, which was, I wasn't really going all that fast, but I was over the speed limit. And I tell you something, I don't speed around there anymore. Because I don't want to get nailed. They kind of won. They kind of did, the process, at least for me, it worked.
And those flashing lights, flashing speed limit light things, I definitely react to those.
The ones that are telling, like, you're driving this fast?
Yeah, and it flashes when you're going on.
Yeah, those work, too, because it's basically saying you're being watched.
My wife had a ticket in a school zone. Well, I see people, they mostly adhere to it, but we don't have enough cops to have people sitting, having a cop sit at every school zone.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I have a civil liberties problem with the cameras, but those cameras and those speed traps, at least with me, it worked on me. I don't I think about those cameras all the time whenever I'm driving. I don't want to get nailed. I don't want to have to pay a fine. Buzz, thanks for the call. 633, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The open question, do you agree with the law that was just signed by Governor Ritter, which would mandate that cities give you, the driver, more warning when there's one of those automated speed traps or automated cameras at the red light, basically warning you that a speed trap is coming up. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of a speed trap if it's warning you about it?
It'd be like if you're cruising down Broadway, Dave, drunk, and you saw a sign saying 5 miles ahead, DUI checkpoint.
Yeah, exactly. doesn't it deter the whole... Isn't it a silly... It defeats the whole purpose. That's what I think. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We got some open lines. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit briefly to Tom Hartman. And then we'll take as many calls as we can get about this issue. I'm taking the side of law enforcement here. I think it's bizarre that we should warn people about speed traps. And I don't like getting speeding tickets. So stick around. And speaking of speeding and driving, Let's get a traffic update.
Yeah, you probably won't get a speeding ticket if you're cruising southbound 225 this morning. Got a left lane blockage around Yosemite. A fire truck sitting there making it really tough getting out of Aurora. So going to hit the jams around Parker Road. Northbound side, not so bad. Also busy on the southbound side around Colfax. Another accident kind of hampered things this morning. Santa Fe at I-25. Rest of the drive looking pretty standard. Speed still in the 30s and 40s there. Heading into downtown on 76 and eastbound 270. Also starting to see some more traffic heading in on the turnpike. Pecos Street to Broadway, showing speeds also in the 30s there. Your forecast, mostly sunny, breezy, and warm, a high of 81. Right now, we're 51 degrees downtown. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Dick's Sporting Goods sneak preview is going on now in Aurora. It's all here. Great prices on a huge selection of sports gear for every athlete. If you buy sporting goods somewhere else, you'll pay too much. Get to Dick's Sporting Goods sneak preview, going on now on South Ironton Street in Aurora.
If you listen to AM 760, you can win a VIP meet-and-greet breakfast with Tom Hartman, along with Green Festival tickets to hear Tom speak. Five winners and guests will enjoy an intimate breakfast at Shells and Sauce in Denver. Register now at am760.net.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I gotta tell you, some of these new games we have here are awesome. Like this one, Star Trek. It's even better than the show because you'll win cash and lots of it. Well, back to work. Anyone feeling lucky?
Yeah, I feel lucky at the Lodge.
That's the spirit, Fred.
I like to come to the Lodge because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lodge Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, it's me, NBC Thursday Night. You know, the one that's after Wednesday but before Friday. Just thought I'd call and say thanks for watching all my new shows last week. Remember the all-new Parks and Recreation when Amy Poehler said that thing you thought was funny? And there were all-new episodes of Earl, The Office, and 30 Rock. Then at 10, 9 Central, there was Southland, that new drama critics are calling gripping and suspenseful. Yes, that was me, NBC Thursday. So how about we do that again this week? Thank God it's not Friday, you know?
Then watch Colorado's news leader, 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If you can come off right now, thank you.
9 Wants to Know found out tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
People don't believe that $1 trillion bailout package will work because it won't. Billions went to AIG, the big banks, and Wall Street, who then paid themselves billions in undeserved bonuses. And it did nothing to stimulate the economy. Think about it. How can we immediately get money circulating into the economy, create millions of new jobs, and solve the housing, credit, and banking crisis? Well, here's a plan that'll actually work and is supported by a majority of Americans. It's called the one-year mortgage holiday, and it costs less. All mortgage payments and foreclosures would stop for 1 year, allowing all homeowners and businesses to refinance at a lower 4% fixed 30-year loan. The government would reimburse interest on the debt to the mortgage holders and banks, giving Americans the time and money to get their financial house in order, and let the people choose how to best spend, save, and invest their own money. Learn more at SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
Starlight, Starbright, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. I need a job with benefits and a coffee cup with my name on it.
Right now, there's an employer looking for someone like Fred, and he'll find someone like Fred, but he won't find Fred. Instead, he'll find all the smart job seekers that did something Fred didn't do.
Post his resume absolutely free at DenverHelpWanted.com.
And people saying, hi, Fred, want to have lunch?
In today's economy, even if you have a job, you never know when you're going to need one. Put yourself where employers can find you. DenverHelpWanted.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. When we get back to the phones, we will be talking more about the bill that forces cities to warn you about a speed trap. What do you think about that? But first, let's go to Tom Hartman. The entire audience, I'm sure, knows Tom. Tom's show is here on AM 760 from 1 to 4. Tom will be in town in Denver for the Denver Green Fest, and that is, let me pull this sheet up here, the Denver Green Fest is on May 2nd, so Tom will be here speaking at the Denver Green Festival. You can find information about the Denver Green Festival at, oh boy, I'm blowing it. I don't see the website here. Well, Google, oh, okay, we'll put it up at am760.net. Tom, thanks for getting up early.
Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so
The question should be, how do you notify people? Are you required to, like, have a guy with a clown suit holding a big sign that says speed trap man?
Well, yeah, it's crazy. It mandates how big a sign, and it's got to be 300 feet or 300 yards in front of the before you hit the speed trap. It's like incredible.
Is it smoky ahead?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it defeat the purpose? Turk was saying that it's kind of like putting a note on a sign on Colfax, East Colfax, heading out to Aurora, saying drunk driving checkpoint 5 miles ahead. You know, what's the point? So listen, I've been listening to your show this week and last week, and you've been talking about I've been particularly keyed in on the torture stuff. And so here's my question to you. You know, you've been watching this stuff for a long time, and I'm a little late to the game on following all of the torture stuff because it's been going on for years and years and years. What do you think are the implications of this new revelation that, yes, in fact, Bush officials did approve at some level this waterboarding stuff? And does that revelation, do you think, push forward this idea that we're going to get some kind of investigation?
The thing, David, that I find the most interesting is the thing that is probably the least talked about, and that's the FBI's role in all this. Remember when I can't remember who was the guy who was the number two in the Justice Department when Ashcroft had surgery, and he ran to the hotel.
Oh, I know who you're. Yeah, that's I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, he came to the bedside.
Right, I got to track his name down because I've got the audio of his testimony, and he to prevent, because Andy Card and Alberto Gonzalez showed up at John Ashcroft's bedside and he was literally at his deathbed. I mean,
Comey,
he was ultimately
Comey,
yes, James Comey, thank
right,
you. And Comey, you know, went down there with lights flashing and sirens and the whole bit. To ward off these guys so that Comey wouldn't sign off on something, and what that something was never discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it probably had to do with, and almost certainly had to do with, wiretapping Americans illegally. But the point is that Robert Mueller, who was the director of the FBI at that time, came and met Comey in the hall, and stood with Comey. Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, stood with Comey in throwing Gonzalez and Card out of that room. And that when the torture, now, you know, fast forward or back forward, I don't know where this all is in time relative to each other, but when you look at the very earliest of the torture cases going on in 2002, the very first of these things, it looks like that just looks like. I mean, the evidentiary record or the journalistic record, what it is so far, is that while the White House was directing all the various agencies to engage in torture, they through the Department of Defense, they directed the military to do it, and through the intelligence, the various intelligence agencies, they directed the CIA to do it and their contractors. And through the Justice Department, they instructed the FBI to be a part of it. And down at Guantanamo, there or for perhaps someplace else, there was an FBI agent who walked out, and Director Mueller backed him up, and they never went back. And the FBI was never involved in any of this stuff after that first taste. And you'll recall from the old J. Edgar Hoover days, you know, in order to be an FBI agent, you had to be male, you had to be straight, yeah, but
right,
most importantly, you had to be a college graduate and a lawyer.
Right.
And so all these FBI agents were lawyers. They had some sense of the legality of what was going on.
Oh.
And they got the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
And I think that that's...
That's kind of a smoking gun, right?
You bet. I think that that's going to be one real difficult thing for Dick Cheney to explain away.
Right, right. We're talking to Tom Hartman. You hear him on AM 760 from 1 to 4. He'll be in Denver for Green Festival on May 2nd. We'll put up all the information at am760.net about Green Festival. Okay, so there's this smoking gun that's sitting out there that's really not getting all that much attention. What do you make of this weird reversal by the White House, where first it said, no, we're not going to prosecute anybody. Then they say, oh, actually, we're not closing the door on prosecutions. We have to let the Justice Department decide, which I think, by the way, that's the right call. I mean, the president directing, and I think Robert Gibbs, the White House spokesman, made a very important point. He said, you know, we created the Justice Department to make prosecutorial decisions so that we would, in some ways, depoliticize it. So it wouldn't just be the president's. He gets to decide who gets prosecuted and who doesn't.
Right. And in fact, it wasn't he. It was the George Washington administration.
Right. No, right. Exactly. He said we've had a Justice Department for a really long time. Exactly. Yeah. So what do you make of this sort of reversal? And then they're saying, no, we're going to let the Justice Department decide. But they explicitly said they're... It seems to be that the White House is saying that we want to look into the people who created the legal framework of this, not the actual interrogators. What are all these mixed messages all about?
Well, I think that Obama has to deal with the agency, the CIA, which has tremendous power and is of tremendous importance to the United States. And he's taken the position, and I think actually there's some integrity to that position, that if you work for the CIA and you're not a lawyer, unlike the FBI guys, I mean, although that wasn't part of his caveat, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, you work for the CIA, you're asked to do all kinds of weird things, I mean, in the course of your life, and many of which we'll never learn about. And somebody comes along and says, you know, the president wants you to, waterboard this guy, and you may have experienced that in training. You know, I mean, you're not necessarily unfamiliar with it. Wants you to do this, and the Justice Department has signed off on it. And here's the Attorney General's letter that says it's legal, and here's the letter from Mr. Rumsfeld or from Mr. Cheney or Addington or whoever saying that you have to do it. And this is your job. This is what you signed up for. Get to it. You do it.
Right. I mean, I
realize that's the Nuremberg defense, but still, we're not talking, you know, at Nuremberg, they were talking about people who were gassing people in death chambers. And I really think there's an order of magnitude difference.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I think the difference between the Nuremberg stuff is that there really was a clear, deceptive effort to create the veneer of a legal justification for this, to actually go. And in some ways, I think you might, we have to see what the evidence is, but you might be able to make the argument that the CIA interrogators, at least some of them, were deceived by these memos that said what you're doing is legal. Like, I mean, you could foresee the situation where an interrogator might say, I'm a little worried about this. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to break the law. And they say, no, here, look, see, this is legal. We have an official Justice Department.
There were cases. I mean, the cases where the guy's penis was sliced, the 34, I think it is, cases that we know of where people died during the interrogations, and some allege that there's as many as 60. Many of these were done by not CIA officers, but by contractors. There was an outside contracting firm. In fact, there was a company that had been doing training work for the CIA early on in how to avoid, in how not to break under torture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were a couple of guys within the CIA, I don't have all the details on this. It's just now starting to come out. But there were a couple of guys who were involved in this process who resigned from the government, started their own company, came in as private contractors, and they got hired, and they were doing some of the torturing. And you know, there's some, I suspect there's some contractors that, you know, when Obama was talking very, very carefully about the four corners of the law that were defined and those people who operated within those four corners
were
going to protect, but those people who operated outside of those four corners, you know, their butts are on the line or whatever. He didn't say it that way, but, you know, I suspect that there will be prosecutions, and they're probably going to be contractors, of people who went beyond what the law, even though...
What they even purported the law to be.
Perfectly said.
Right. What the White House, what even the White House legal distorters pretended that the law was. Yeah, I think that's
right.
I think that's absolutely right.
And all of this is small fish stuff, because the big fish were Rumsfeld.
Absolutely.
Cheney. And probably Bush.
That's right. That's right. Tom Hartman, you hear him here on AM 760, a progressive talk from 1 to 4. He will be here at Green Festival on May 2nd. Check www.am760.net for details on that event. Tom, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thanks, David.
Good talking to you.
Pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah. That was Tom Hartman. Again, you hear him here from 1 to 4 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. He'll be here on May 2nd in Denver. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We will be back to open up the phones. We'll talk about the bill to warn you about an upcoming speed trap. Do you think that's smart? Do you think that defeats the whole purpose of a traffic speed trap? What do you think? 303-713-7600, couple of open lines. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic is improving on southbound 225. They have moved that emergency vehicle off to the shoulder now, but they are doing hit-and-run accident investigation there. Southbound 225 around Parker Road to Yosemite. Going to be a busy spot for you. Also stop and go southbound I-25, I-70 past Spear Boulevard. And we're starting to see some more traffic on C-470 heading across Littleton and Highlands Ranch. Santa Fe to Lucent, going to be busy there. Also after Broadway up to Quebec. A couple surface street crashes, one in cleanup phase, Santa Fe at I-25, and a brand new one at 120th and Lowell out there in Westminster. Your forecast, mostly sunny, a high around 80 degrees. Right now, 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the NBA playoffs is on TNT. The Celtics showed veteran poise to even the series. Now, can the Bulls take the lead at home? Then the Jazz look to regroup against the Lakers. Don't miss Celtics-Bulls Game 3 and Lakers-Jazz Game 3 tonight at 6 on TNT.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Live streaming courtesy of Pianos and Pianos.
AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net. Stay connected.
Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If it can come off right now,
take it. 9 wants to know, found out tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Anyone can talk about going green, but if you're ready to take action, visit SLO, the Sustainable Living Online Expo, sponsored by Chevrolet's Fuel Solutions Division and AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Looking to make your home or business more energy efficient? Get an expert energy audit. Discover how solar electricity improves energy efficiency and learn how to cut utility dependence. Visit the SLO online booths for lightly treading, sole source solar, and be utility free at AM760.net. Support like-minded businesses with like-minded goals.
A new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale has more than doubled. You want to avoid buying these rebuilt wrecks. Make sure your dealer shows you a Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to Carfax.com.
Awaken your spirit with John Nakamatsu and the Boulder Philharmonic Orchestra April 25th at Mackey Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. Call the box office at 303-449-1343, extension 2, or visit boulderphil.org.
653, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 51 degrees in Denver, going up to 78. Let's get back to the phones. We're talking about the new bill that would mandate law enforcement in cities to put up signs big signs before speed traps, automated speed traps, and those red light cameras to warn you that they're there. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you think that defeats the whole purpose? Sean and Greeley, what do you think?
Morning, David.
Morning.
Well, on the speed cams, I agree with you. That you know, sort of like tipping your hand, and I think there's a certain revenue generation part of that. Let them at it, and you learned your lesson there on Monaco. You know, slow down. I've gotten a speeding ticket or two, and I typically pay pretty close attention to my speed. Once in a while, it's like, oh wait, what happened?
Right, I mean, it sucks to get caught. You know, I hate getting caught.
Everybody does. And I think when it comes to the red light, let's throw those signs up because they can do the statistical analysis to say where the really bad red lights are. And I see people going through red lights all the time, and that gets hugely dangerous.
Oh, actually,
that's sort of like an acute problem. So, fine, throw up the sign that says there's a camera here. I don't know if they can get away doing it when there's not a camera. People can probably figure that one out.
I follow you, man. I actually follow you. You're making that's a good point. That for the red lights in particular, where you're not just trying to catch people, but you're actually trying to stop them from, you know, it's kind of like it's not just a revenue generator. If you stop them from going through the red light, you're potentially preventing serious accidents. So there's actually a not a crime deterrent as much as a public safety idea. If you can make people slow down because you're warning them of a speed trap, you're potentially preventing an accident. That's a great point, Sean. Thanks for calling in and making it. All right, one more call before the top of the hour. Kimber in Fort Collins. Kimber.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
A couple things. First of all, yeah, though I do agree with you that it's better to get a ticket via the camera because you don't get the points, and it kind of doesn't make sense to warn somebody of a speed trap. I'm a big fan of the signs, one, because of safety, because it seems like everybody freaks out when they get to that giant intersection. We have a couple of those in Fort Collins because they know if they accidentally get caught right in the middle, they get a ticket. But the biggest thing for me is the Big Brother factor. I just don't like it. And at least the sign is kind of, oh, yeah, here's our Big Brother moment, just letting you know. And it just kind of at least tones it down for me. I don't like the cameras. I don't like the cameras everywhere, the speed traps. I hate.
So you're saying it kind of mitigates the Big Brother and that it's at least telling you, hey, Big Brother's here.
Yeah, hey, Big Brother's here. Big Brother kind of sucks, but it's a great way to have revenue, and we do need it. And whoever wants to say what the reason is, it's coming up. I mean, I'm the kind of, I'm probably fairly conspiratorial, but I just, you know, I think it's one little Big Brother thing leads into the next. Like, when are we going to all have the RFID chips?
Right, when does it stop? Slippery slope.
Yeah, when does it stop? I don't like it. I just don't. And at least if you're going to throw up the sign, okay, kind of for somebody like me, well, here's our Big Brother. Here you go.
Well, I see that. And I definitely see that. I think that's an important point. And I also think you're right. The safety issue, now I'm thinking through it. Now, there's some issue there. In some ways, the signs actually make sure or try to help make sure that these speed traps are not just cash cows, right? That they're actually, there's like a point that you can slow down and avoid getting punished. And the whole goal is to slow people down. Good point. All right. Stick around. After the news, we'll get back to this subject. I want to hear your thoughts. But first, let's get some news from all across the country.
The Douglas County Democratic Party invites you to join them at their fifth annual Clinton-Carter Dinner on Saturday, April 25th. This dinner has it all. Great speakers like Governor Bill Ritter, the National Director of Progress Now, Michael Huttner, and Andrew Romanoff as the MC, plus live entertainment and a silent auction. Be part of the new energy that's turning Douglas County blue. Tickets can be purchased at douglasdemocrats.org or call 303-907-8961.
If you're thinking of designing your own engagement ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from the thousands of certified diamonds at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. You'll have the ring only you could create.
It can only be Jared!
Find the Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Denso Platinum TT spark plugs with twin tip technology for $1.99 at Advanced Auto Parts. Are you kidding me? That's an unbelievable price for a plug that's going to improve your performance and increase your mileage. All right, look, let me break it down for you, okay? That's a lot of spark for a lot of miles at a price that nobody else can match. Denso Platinum TT spark plugs are only at Advance. Now throw in some new ignition wires, and you're good to go. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Economist Stuart Hoffman.
I don't expect to see any persistent downward movement in unemployment claims in the next couple of months, but I do think that's something we could see later this year.
I'm Jim Taylor. It's a tough deal being laid off, but it turns out to be tough as well on those doing the firing. USA Today detailing stress, poor sleep, even health problems for managers involved in layoffs. One study of more than 400 managers over a 10-year period finds those managers involved in a lot of layoffs are more likely than other bosses to have stress-related health problems like ulcers and health trouble. There's health problems persist, they say, up to 3 years after the layoffs. Steve?
In Detroit, it's the kind of summer vacation no one wants. General Motors planning to shut most U.S. plants for 9 weeks. Auto analyst David Cole says it'll give dealers more time to clear lots.
It's absolutely imperative for manufacturers to have a much more manageable inventory.
GM faces another June 1st deadline to cut its debt. To Iraq, where reports say two suicide attacks have killed more than 50 people. One targeting Iraqis that were collecting humanitarian aid in Baghdad, the other Iranian pilgrims at a restaurant northeast of the capital. Reports also say the top al-Qaeda in Iraq leader was arrested today. Some prime vacation real estate has gone up in smoke along coastal South Carolina. CBS's Jim Crisula with more on a nasty wildfire.
The out-of-control fire near Myrtle Beach has damaged dozens of homes and chased thousands away. Scott Hawkins is with the South Carolina Forestry Commission.
We're at the mercy of the weather, so the fire is likely to get bigger before we get a containment line around it.
Red flag warnings for dangerous wildfire conditions, unseasonably warm weather, low humidity and high winds are posted for most of the Carolinas. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
President Obama will ask the credit card industry and its leaders to make moves to change policies at the White House today, or the government may do it for them.
White House officials say they're hoping for an open and productive conversation with some 13 credit card and banking execs today. But this is expected to be a polite reading of the Riot Act to companies who've been jacking up rates and fees, even for customers who've been paying their bills on time. A bill dubbed the Credit Card Holders Bill of Rights is also working its way through Congress, and the White House has signaled it's behind it.
CBS's Kimberly Dozier at the White House. Republicans are firing back at Democratic efforts to investigate harsh interrogations during the Bush years. Senator John McCain on the CBS Early Show says he doesn't think prosecuting those who helped draft the rules is the way to go.
To criminalize their legal counsel, unless you can prove that they intentionally violated existing laws or ethics, then this is going to turn into a witch hunt.
Before the bell, S&P futures are up about 7 points. This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, we're offering special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. Plus, free workshops this weekend on spring outdoor projects, which means we'll show you how to save cash by tackling improvements yourself, then keep that cash in your pocket by postponing payments. Special deferred financing. More saving. More doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 3rd, U.S. only. See store for details.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. National foreclosure activity rose 24% during the first quarter, but it was just the opposite in Denver. Denver foreclosures fell 46% in this first quarter compared with a year ago. The Denver Post reports one real estate broker, however, speculates lenders may not have pushed as hard for foreclosures. Aurora city leaders are getting ready to ask voters to dig a little deeper into their pockets. Mayor Ed Tower says a tax increase is the only way to save important city programs. New oil and gas drilling guidelines are in place for Colorado now after Governor Ritter's signature. The governor says the measure balances industry needs with the importance of healthy communities, water supplies, and wildlife. Republicans in the Senate disagree.
No matter what other people are saying, what's going on right now does not lead to responsible development. It leads to no development.
Assistant Senate GOP leader Greg Brophy of Ray says the measure will discourage investment in Colorado during a recession. And InDenverTimes.com needs a new influx of cash. May 4th remains the planned date for the former Rocky Mountain News reporter's online news and comment site, but a trio of financial backers have pulled their funding for the website. The Denver Post reports today had been the deadline for the site to have 50,000 committed subscribers to stay on track for the May launch. Sports: Nuggets win again. They beat the New Orleans Hornets 108-93. They lead the best of seven series 2-0. And the Rockies lose to Arizona 2-0. They're off today, but back at Coors Field for a weekend series against the Dodgers. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
We're still looking at delays as you're making that Parker curve on the southbound side of 225 as there's a hit-and-run accident investigation off to the left shoulder on that approach to Yosemite. It's just past Parker Road. It is catching some looks. Everybody's hitting their brakes, making their way past it. We're also seeing slowdowns building on south or both directions, rather, of I-25 to and through the tech center. Eastbounders on I-70 loading up past Holly, but it's not too slow with speeds running along in the 40-mile-an-hour range. Got a crash off the highway on Evans just before Santa Fe, and they've cleaned up an accident that was actually on Santa Fe at I-25. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't miss the closeout sale of Tower 1 at the Pinnacle at City Park South. Special bargain prices are still available, but not for long. Two-bedroom homes start at $399,900. One bedrooms from just $299,900.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, I love.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
Please welcome,
we are live
for the world premiere
and action.
show bus.
The movie industry is all a Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Show bus.
Started freaking out that that I wasn't going to be able to find season 5 online because I need to catch up now, but I found it, so that's good. All right, let's do a little news rundown, and we'll get back to our discussion real quick. Before I should say this, before I get to that, let's do a little update on the most local of news, at least here at AM 760. We'll do an update. We're going to do this every hour this morning, updating you on what's going on with Jay, as in Jay Marvin. Westward has a story up about what's going on with Jay. In late February, Jay Marvin, the morning host here, had his gallbladder removed. I'm reading from the Westward website. Surgery that's generally considered to be rather minor, but almost 2 months later, he hasn't returned. And unfortunately, Jay's return isn't imminent. According to Jay's wife, Mary, he's scheduled to undergo a series of tests this week that are intended to identify what a large mass near his spinal column is, one of several serious health concerns that have surfaced since the initial gallbladder procedure. Mary says that Jay was exhibiting flu-like symptoms, and he was in a lot of pain, and I can attest that that's true. I've seen Jay every couple days for the last many weeks, visiting him. And text messaging with him and emailing him, and I saw him a couple nights ago. My wife and I walked over, took a walk for some ice cream, and it was near his hospital, and I stopped in a couple nights ago. And he's fighting the good fight, but it's a tough fight right now. And so everybody's thoughts and prayers should go out to Jay right now, because these tests are really serious and they're really important. So we're all pulling for you, Jay. In local news around Denver, in Denver Times, the proposed successor to the Rocky Mountain News, Denver Post reports that financial backers have pulled out of that venture. So it doesn't look like I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it looks like it's hit a bunch of problems. Denver City Councilman Chris Nevitt, who we're going to try to get on this show in the next couple of days, today, and I'm reading from the Denver Post, said Mayor John Hickenlooper gave him the green light to move forward on a worker retention ordinance. But Nevitt says Hickenlooper is now caving to corporate interests. The mayor this week sought to sideline the proposal. The issues divided the labor community and the business community. The mayor this week sided with business leaders. Big shocker. In doing so, the mayor risks further alienating labor leaders, who he hasn't really paid much attention to in the past. The ordinance would require the winning bidders on city service contracts to keep for at least 90 days the employees of the previous contract holder. The point of this is that when the city changes contracts, you don't want to just lay people off the next day. You want to give the people who are working under those contracts at least 90 days. Nevitt said he moved forward with the ordinance in response to the very real jeopardy window washers at Denver International Airport faced when their firm risked losing a contract up for renewal. Nevitt added, by the way, that President Obama thinks there's a need for this kind of legislation. Obama issued a workforce retention executive order for all federal facilities in his first 2 weeks in office. And again, unfortunately, Mayor Hickenlooper has taken the side of corporate interests against this bill. We're going to try to get Chris Nevitt on about this. Denver Post, a last-ditch effort to allow police to stop drivers for not wearing their seatbelts is underway in hopes of luring $20 million in federal funds to the state. State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton, who we're going to have on here in the 7 a.m. hour about his health care bill, is pushing this bill. The federal government has made $20 million in aid for our state contingent on us strengthening our seatbelt laws. Foreclosure activity in Metro Denver has declined at one of the fastest rates in the nation. That is good news. That's great news. New poll shows Michael Bennett's poll numbers are terrible. The more voters, I'm reading from the Post here, the more voters learn about him, the more they don't like about him. Perhaps that's because They don't like him not taking positions on major issues. He still refuses to take a position on the Employee Free Choice Act. Colorado Springs Gazette: Dog the Bounty Hunter reportedly encountered gunfire while chasing down a bail jumper in Colorado Springs on Tuesday night while cameras were rolling for his TV show. Dog in Colorado Springs. Highlands Ranch and Centennial have been named among the 250 most affluent U.S. cities. Governor Ritter signs the new Colorado oil and gas rules, starting to protect the environment and wildlife as part of the drilling permitting process. Lawmakers take on a bill to create a health care reform authority. As mentioned before, State Representative Joe Rice, who's going to be on here in a couple minutes, is pushing a bill to create a health care authority to develop a system with the intent of requiring all of us in Colorado to each obtain individual health care policies, a health care mandate. A bill that would have offered incentives for the state to use American-made steel in public works projects has died in the Colorado legislature. That's not good news. Nine News reports that a new trend called pre-foreclosure or foreclosure sales offer deals for some but cost taxpayers thousands of dollars. Basically, people start selling off all the assets in their home, and then the government has to pick up the cost of their defaulted loan. National News: support grows for an inquiry into Wall Street's woes. This is the New York Times reporting that there's a congressional effort on to recreate the famous Pecora Commission from the Great Depression. That was the commission that looked into, publicly looked into, the collapse of Wall Street. So there's a push now on to have a 9/11 style commission look into the collapse on Wall Street. I think that's a great idea. I think we need to have a public airing of that. Democrats are considering a tactical measure that would allow them to go around the filibuster in the Senate to pass health care reform. That's good news. Condoleezza Rice, John Ashcroft, and other top Bush administration officials approved in the summer of 2002 the CIA's use of, quote, harsh interrogation methods. That's according to the Washington Post. So big news is that the Bush administration approved torture as early as 2002, I'm so disgusted with this. In the media, you'll see harsh interrogation methods. As somebody Twittered me yesterday, the term harsh interrogation methods is like calling rape surprise sex. Now, let's just call what harsh interrogation methods really are. It's torture. That's what it is. And in economic news, GM to shut most plants, most American plants, up to 9 weeks this summer because of slumping sales. That's bad news. And then this is my favorite and most disturbing story of the day. From GamePolitics.com, one of my favorite websites, an iPod Touch game in which the player attempts to stop a baby from crying by violently shaking the motion-sensitive handheld device is causing a stir. iTunes has removed Baby Shaker from its Apple Store offerings. It's a debate on both sides of this. Should Apple be making value judgments on games developed by game developers? Then again, this game sounds incredibly disgusting. But the topic of the hour is whether you agree with a new law passed in the legislature that would mandate cities to post warning signs before speed traps. These automated speed traps that take a picture of you on the road and clock you, or these cameras at red lights. The new law says that cities have to post these big warning signs warning you about it. Does that defeat the purpose of these speed traps? Or maybe, and this is what somebody said in the last hour, maybe that is the purpose. Maybe what this does is make you slow down, gives you an incentive to slow down because you know you're going to get ticketed. And isn't the goal actually just to get people to slow down, not to actually ticket people? What do you think? We got open phones, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600.
Or is the goal for them to make money? and hand out as many tickets as possible.
Yeah, but if the goal for them was to make money,
they wouldn't be putting up these signs.
They wouldn't be putting up the signs. Right, so now I'm like...
Aren't police officers, and you know, maybe we have some out there that... I mean, aren't they supposed to make quotas each month? How many traffic violations they hand out?
I mean, that's the sort of... That's the mythology, isn't it?
Is that a wives' tale?
I don't know. If there's any police officers out there, if you can call up and let us know, is there some kind of quota for traffic tickets you got to file? I mean, I've actually gone both ways now on this. I'll admit it. I don't like to be a guy who just throws out a topic and just wants to ram my opinion down your throat. So I'm of two minds on this. Maybe this is the purpose. If you warn people about speed traps, maybe the whole goal is to slow people down, not just to ticket people and make money. Then again, if you're a driver and you know you're going to be warned, and you know you have to be warned, then isn't that saying that in places that you're not warned, you should feel free to speed?
Precisely.
Right? I mean, if you know the laws that you have to be warned, that means any place that you're not being warned, it's kind of like you can be the Autobahn. 303-713-7600. All right, speaking of driving, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Still working this hit-and-run accident investigation. Left shoulder southbound 225 just after Parker Road. Now, these delays coming out of Aurora are pretty heavy. Going to see it from Mississippi down to the site of that investigation, and that's going to last all the way down to the I-25 interchange as well. Also looking stop-and-go conditions eastbound 6th Avenue, now Federal Boulevard to 25. On 25, pretty heavy there coming into downtown after I-70. Have a few surface street accidents as well. One in the cleanup phase, 120th and Lowell, and a couple new ones. One on Evans near Santa Fe, and another at 128th and Washington. Your forecast, mostly sunny, breezy, and warm at the high 81. Right now, 53 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
New casino players eat for free.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 Till 2. 10 Till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 till 2. The time is now.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor. Brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface. Just a tip, bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
My next vehicle is going to be from them again. I guarantee you.
That's Rocky's Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rocky's Auto's located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Jack Misek Heating and Cooling reminds you that when you take to the road, remember to take along those three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, a little common sense. Safe and sober driving is everyone's responsibility. This important message courtesy of Jack Misek Heating and Cooling in Arvada. They serve the area with top quality work, integrity, and dependability. For service, call 303-463-8541. That's 303-463-8541. Jack Misek Heating and Cooling. On the air because they care.
A new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale has more than doubled. You want to avoid buying these rebuilt wrecks. Make sure your dealer shows you a Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to Carfax.com.
In Denver, 51 degrees going up to 78. That's music to my ears. As I've said before, I'm a sandals and barbecue and beer and patio kind of guy. I'm actually a beach kind of guy. I love the beach, but There's no beach here. I'm also a mountain. Mountains can substitute for beach. All right, let's go to the phones. What do you think about the bill that compels cities to warn you about speed traps? Warn you about these automated speed traps. Good idea, bad idea? Does it defeat the purpose? Or should that actually be the purpose? Will it actually slow you down? I know I got an automated ticket on Monaco, and I haven't sped there, and I don't really speed that much, but I definitely have it in the back of my head all the time, and I don't want to get a ticket. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Dave and Centennial. Dave, what do you think?
I caught some of what you were saying. It made me instantly think of just a couple instances of the police doing writing tickets for rolling stops. This may not relate so much, but my wife got a ticket about 3 months ago at a three-way stop here, and what the cop was doing was he was way back from the three-way stop, almost a full block, and my wife's driving this Buick LeSabre, so she looks like she's got some money, and it's her mother's car, so she does a rolling stop and gets about two blocks away before the cop decides to come after her. Now, he's sitting at this three-way stop that a lot of people do the rolling stop thing, and he chases her down. He decides to go after her, writes her a ticket. Now, along the street, there's about four other four-way stops that he could have been monitoring, but instead he picks the least dangerous one and sits there and writes her a ticket for it.
So what you're saying is that's a revenue gainer.
Yeah, that's just sitting there. He's not really making anything safer. He's just getting revenue. Hey, I guess in my mind they probably should warn you for speed traps, although, you know, people are excessively hitting the road. I drive a smaller truck, and I see people just blaze around me because I'm not going fast enough for them. It's kind of like that rule where if you're going down the highway, you've got to get in the lane instead of being able to go 75. You've got to get in the right-hand lane to do 65 so everybody else can do 80.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know, it's like you're allowing...
It's speed inflation.
I've seen the Sheridan police do another three-way stop where there's a faded stop sign that they're willing to let sit there and be a danger to the public so they can write tickets. The only reason I stopped at this stop sign was because I knew it was there. This stop sign was so faded it blended in with the buildings around it. And I stopped and I looked to my left and there was a cop sitting there waiting for somebody to blow through. They were willing to let a safety hazard exist where somebody could have gotten killed or a kid get hurt in order to write tickets.
All right, so you're of the belief that this stuff is about government revenue and all right. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
I just wanted to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
At that stop sign, at that intersection, I went back a week later and they had must have ticketed someone who complained so much because there was a bright red new stop sign there when I went through the next time.
See?
I said, good
See,
job,
you make
guys.
Your voice heard. And you get change.
That's it.
Thanks, man. Karen in Johnstown. Karen.
Hi. Listen, because of work, this week I've been driving between Sterling and Holyoke out east.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6 miles west of Haxton, there's a sign in someone's front yard that says there's a speed trap 6 miles ahead.
Someone's taking matters into their own hands, huh?
Yeah. To be honest, right now, because of my circumstances, cruise control is my friend. And Highway 6 is one of those roads that people pass you on a double yellow line because you're just going the speed limit. So my opinion is, though, I don't know whether or not sometimes speed traps slow down, because if you're on, like, 6th Avenue or I-25 and you see a cop giving somebody a ticket on the other side of the road, you slow down.
Right.
You know, so it might be part of that. It might make sense to put signs up for the cops on the side of the road because, again, when you're pulling somebody over, it could be a problem. But I think with the light, the cameras at the red stoplight, I think probably people should just slow down, should be doing that anyways. I mean, there's a joke about how can you tell drivers in Colorado and it's the third car from, you know, through the red light.
Well, I got to tell you something. If you think Colorado drivers are, I think Colorado drivers, frankly, and maybe I'm going to get in trouble here. I think Colorado drivers are kind of meandering and slow. Now, granted, I grew up in Philadelphia, which Philadelphia is like they're all derivatives of New York drivers, and New York drivers are absolutely insane. So I've had to sort of recalibrate my driving expectations. So you're of the belief that maybe warning, if any way to get people to slow down is good, whether it's not about trapping people, it's about getting people to generally slow down, and maybe that's the whole point.
Well, again, like, you know, if you think about, like I said, if you ever see anybody pulled over on the side of the road, both sides of the road are going to slow down.
That's right. Which is basically what you're saying is that for that one ticket, that slows down, you know, scores of different cars that are passing. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good point. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Fred Narvada. Fred. Hey, Fred.
Yeah, hello there. How are you this morning?
Good. So what do you think?
Well, I think we're all in favor of the deterrent, the more the better. Traffic lights at the intersection traffic light cameras, those are paid for lock, stock, and barrel up front by the Automobile Insurance Institute. And they get their money at the tail end of it, the back end.
Who does?
You get your ticket, what happens to your rates? They go up. Well, that's a great deterrent. I'm in favor of the signs or anything else to slow traffic down. I drive a big 18-wheeler, and we consider ourselves ATMs on wheels.
Right. So you want the signs?
Yeah.
And mainly, again, because you think it'll get people to slow down, and that's the ultimate goal.
That's the ultimate goal, yeah.
It shouldn't be making money. It shouldn't be catching people.
No.
Let me play devil's advocate then. What about the idea that if everybody knows that you have to be warned about one of these speed traps, doesn't that tell you that if you're not being warned, you can speed?
That's kind of like the signs that say enforcement by radar in certain areas. You see those signs?
Right, yeah.
In actuality, they use it everywhere.
So, meaning what?
Well, they can use it as a deterrent everywhere, not necessarily just in those areas.
Oh, I see. What you're saying is if you're not getting warned, you still can get nailed by somebody just...
Right.
I see, yeah.
Down Interstate 70, I'll see CSP officers pull over the front car in a pack of 7 or 8 that are 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The front one to make it one slow down. It's not like duck hunting. Cost the rear ones in the rear.
Right, it's not either or. It's not either
right.
or. They can warn you, but then you can get nailed by a standalone cop. Good point. Good point, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, y'all have a good day now.
You too.
Get well, Jay!
Absolutely. Get well, Jay. All right, 7:31. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're going to be talking after the break to State Representative Joe Rice. He's going to update us on a new health care bill, and then we'll get back to your calls about the great traffic debate. And actually, I think we're not going to open it yet, but we're going back and forth here. We're going to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo on that. So we'll wait to gong it open. But we're going back and forth here.
Bang and gong.
Yeah, right. So we're going to get State Representative Joe Rice after the break, and then we'll get back to your calls, 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update.
Thank you, David. Traffic's pretty busy for us right in the middle of the morning commute. Still working this hit-and-run accident investigation, left shoulder, southbound 225. Around Parker Road, delays coming out of Aurora go back to Mississippi there on the southbound side. Northbound side, also a bit of a struggle there around the spillway. Stop-and-go conditions on southbound I-25 in North Glen, again near downtown. And also things really coming to a halt on eastbound 270, speeds in the teens and 20s, 25 down to Quebec. Also, going to be slow going eastbound approaches into the city. C-470, busy Wadsworth to Lucent. Also on the turnpike there from Federal or Sheridan all the way, Sheridan onto 25. A few surface street accidents as well out there. A new one. 4 cars involved, Hamden and Happy Canyon. 5 cars involved in a crash at 128th and Washington. And a couple accidents in the cleanup phase, 120th and Lowell and Evans around Santa Fe. Your forecast, mostly sunny, a high around 80. Right now, 53 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This message only lasts 15 seconds. That's not long, but it is long enough for a great motorcycle ride to go really, really bad. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
60 Minutes
to CBS World News Roundup.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared.
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jarrett, the Peerless Diamond, the ideal cut diamond, is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jarrett.
Did you know your mattress could be emitting toxic, cancer-causing chemicals? That's right. Most mattresses are filled with synthetic materials that are unhealthy for you and the environment. The Natural Sleep Store carries the highest quality organic mattresses, including the customer favorite, Savvy Rest. Visit their showrooms in Denver or Fort Collins, and mention this ad to receive a 10% discount plus free delivery when you purchase an organic mattress. Get healthy and buy organic. For details, visit thenaturalsleepstore.com. That's thenaturalsleepstore.com.
CorvetteCorvette.com and CorvetteDenver.com are your destination for late model Corvette sales and service in Colorado. Large Corvette showroom, great Corvette service. Buy your next new or used Corvette from people who care. DenverCorvette.com is PurefoyChevrolet.com.
Every day I talk with customers who've spent a bunch of money searching for the perfect shoe to help their plantar fasciitis. That's the bad news. The good news is Good Feet Arch Supports bring an end to their search and their pain.
Donate your new or used shoes at any Good Feet store and get 10% off your arch support purchase. Proceeds go to Goodwill. Call 877-620-FEET. That's 877-620-FEET for Good Feet. America's number one arch support.
Your 401k is in danger. Your IRA is in trouble. The U.S. paper dollar is unstable. As you hear me talk, you're losing net worth fast. To make matters worse, huge government spending is devaluing your money even faster. High rates of inflation are rolling towards you like a tidal wave of loss. Don't just sit there. Do something. Buy gold now, direct and wholesale with United Gold Group.
Gold prices have tripled since 2001, and many experts predict the prices will climb another 100%. The demand is strong, and it's timing may never be better. When you buy from us, you're buying direct and getting wholesale prices. Call us and learn what other gold companies don't want you to know.
United Gold's 2009 Investors Kit will supply you with everything you need to know about the advantages of buying gold direct, cutting out the middleman. Your Gold Investors Kit is yours absolutely free if you call now. 800-670-5480. Supplies are limited, so call right away. You'll also get the secrets on how to own gold in your retirement account. Call now. 800-670-5480. 800-670-5480.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Jeldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all, "You got the job." More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
If you're thinking of designing your own engagement ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from the thousands of certified diamonds at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. You'll have the ring only you could create.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to get back to your calls on the traffic issue. But first, as promised, we're joined now by State Representative Joe Rice. Joe, you represent Littleton, right?
Yes, David. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And you have proposed a bill, as I understand it, to create an authority that would study and potentially implement a health care plan that would mandate people to buy insurance, buy health insurance. This is something like they have in Massachusetts. So tell me if I'm right, and tell me why you did it, and tell me what you want to get out of this.
Yeah, well, it's not like, it's like Massachusetts in that everybody has insurance, but it's not like Massachusetts, and all they did is essentially said, you have to go out and have insurance. It's a, and They didn't do any structural changes to the system that that covered everybody, that made it affordable, that separated employment and insurance, so people who had insurance tied to their job still were tied to their job because of their insurance. So they didn't. They just tinkered around the edges with our same broken system. And this one, this proposal is more fundamental change, and it's about 85% of the way that the health care for all in the single payer plan that was tried earlier in this session wanted to go. And actually, if you look at the both bills, they are very, very similar. And that's not an accident. That's because both groups were actually working together for many months and got close to coming up with a plan that they both could support. But ultimately, it both broke down over a disagreement over the role of private insurance, the single payer community. Kind of oversimplifying here, but the single-payer community didn't want a role for private insurance, and then the part of the business community, I should say, that's pushed to supporting this other plan did want a role in there for private insurance. They thought that that had a lot of quality and cost containment and other things that were of value and of benefit. So it's unfortunate that the two groups didn't come together, because I've said publicly many times before they even started working together, while they were working together, and since negotiations broke down, and then we had the single payer effort in the legislature, which I supported. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, is that comprehensive health care reform is going to be hard enough. It's going to be hard enough. It's a real question as to whether a state can even undertake such an effort successfully. We'd need a number of federal waivers, and then there's just a lot of other practical problems, like what do you do with people who come here from other states? So whether or not a state can undertake comprehensive health care reform is challenging enough, and what I've said to both groups is each group can kill each other's plans, and the only way that this is going to stand a chance is if the groups come together, and that's absolutely what I believed. I supported the single-payer effort.
The single-payer effort by State Representative John Kafalas of Fort Collins.
Correct, yeah.
So tell us what's different about this plan.
It mostly in the single payer plan, there was not a role for private insurance, and it was all going to be a government run entity. And in this plan, there's basically a single payer base, that is things like early intervention and preventative care on kind of the front end, if you will, and then are at the lower end, and then at the high end, catastrophic care, people who have serious illnesses or injuries that things like cancers and those sorts of things that cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. Both of those would be essentially a single payer system. And then for everybody else, it is mandatory insurance, because if that's one of the problems with insurance right now is, or our current system is, the risk pool is so segmented that you tend to start to get groups that, the people who only have insurance when they need it, and everybody who is less likely to need it doesn't purchase it, so you don't have a wide risk pool, and that drives up costs, of course, for those people who need it. And then on the other side, a lot of the people who thought they didn't need it, to oversimplify, the young and the healthy people, X percentage of them end up needing it, don't have it, and then end up on the taxpayer roll. So that's one of the problems here. So what this would say is you have to have insurance, and there can be a public option. If people, kind of like Medicare or Medicaid, kind of like what the single-payer healthcare for all was advocating. If you want a public plan as your primary insurance and the kind of that what we're calling the middle tiers, you can do that. But you can also purchase a private insurance if you want, or you can have a single-payer base and you can purchase additional coverage on top of that.
So you're not opposed to having
a hybrid system
to creating a public option that people would be able to then, under this mandate, buy into.
Absolutely, that absolutely would be an option.
So that you'd have the mandate would say you have to buy health insurance, and here's a public option, or you can go out and buy it privately.
Yes.
Now,
go ahead.
And we're talking to State Representative Joe Rice about his new health care bill. This is in the wake of State Representative John Kafalas's bill. Which would have created an authority to study and implement a single-payer system. This is a little different. That bill did not pass. And so this was a philosophical debate between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. She was saying, during the primary, that we need to have a mandate. And he was saying, I don't believe that people don't buy health insurance because they just don't feel like buying health insurance. I believe they don't buy health insurance because they can't afford it. And what you're saying is that part of the reason, I guess what you're saying is that part of the reason healthcare is so expensive is because the risk pool isn't big enough. That is to say that if everybody's not forced to buy insurance, then you get the people who do buy insurance are the ones who need it the most. And that, because the risk isn't spread out, that makes it more expensive. Do I basically have it right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the key issues. Of course, one of the other key issues is kind of the very difficult decisions that we have to make, and that's essentially the end of life. I've seen different and heard different reports, but the figures are somewhere in the 60-80% of all the healthcare dollars that you will spend in your lifetime or in the last year of your life. And when we start to look at systems like Canada, that's where you start to, where you get all the knocks, because if you look at the cost, the quality, and the patient satisfaction rates for basically everything else in Canada, all their early intervention and routine care,
right,
acute care, it's their costs are outstanding, their quality are very low, their quality is outstanding, and their patient satisfaction is high. Where Canada gets its knocks is because they fund all the basic things first. And then they go to the next tier of, okay, here's how much we have for hip replacements. And that's where you start to get the criticisms of, oh, it's 18 months for a hip replacement.
Right.
And then they even make the very painful decisions, the brutally rational decisions of things like, for instance, if you're over 65, you're not getting a new heart. Sorry, you're going to die. Because they just allocate things in a brutally efficient way. But at least they do it with some forethought. Now, I'm not advocating, and this is not a Canadian-style system, but it gets to your point right there of no system, whether it's single payer, whether it's this hybrid model, this universal coverage model that I'm introducing now, or whether it's even a Canadian style system, nothing is going to work until you at some point you have to start making those very, very, very difficult decisions.
Right, right. We're talking to State Representative Joe Rice from Littleton. He is proposing a bill on universal health care. His bill, as I understand it, would use a single-payer system to cover catastrophic
right
problems and preventative problems, the beginning and the end, if you will.
Yeah, your physicals, your immunizations, your mammograms, prostate screenings, that would all be in the preventative.
And in the middle, in the day-to-day, would mandate everybody buys health insurance. Okay, so I have to ask the obvious question. Mm-hmm. If I can't afford to buy health insurance, if I'm somebody who doesn't have health insurance now because I can't afford it, not just because I'm making some choice. I just can't afford it. I want it. I can't afford it. What am I going to do under your bill?
It would be similar to, but I think more efficient than what we do right now, things like Medicaid. There would be a public plan that you would take care of, or that you would be eligible for that you would have. I think the issue here
and effectively means tested, meaning Medicaid is means tested in the sense that you have to show that you're not making enough money to be in Medicaid.
Right.
So and is that what you're talking about?
There would have to be some type of means of system to do that. That's exactly correct. It could be exactly what we have now, or it could be something different. That's one of the things that the authority that you described earlier would be charged. They have to set up all the details of this system, which again is exactly what the single payer bill 1273 charged as well. And one of the problems we're having now is you have a lot of people who, again, the criticisms that were leveled against healthcare for all are now in some cases being leveled by healthcare for all about, well, there's all these unknowns in this system and people are predisposing that the authority is going to come up with things that they don't like. And I guess, what I just keep coming back down to, I think my bill will probably fail as well, and I hope it passes. I'll do everything I can that it passes, but I think that the statement that I've made before is true, that comprehensive health care reform is difficult enough, and both groups can kill each other's plans, and then they can feel good about winning, I guess, but we're still left with the very same broken healthcare system that we have right now that is cost too much, we get too little for it, and it's unfair to many people, and it's wasteful. We have, I think we could do so much more with the same dollars that we are spending right now. And I think single payer had a plan that could be much more efficient with the same dollars that we're having right now. I think this hybrid plan can do a lot more with the same dollars we have right now and cover more people, do more good. And what we need to do, whether it's yet in the last couple weeks of this legislative session with this bill, or if either of these groups are serious about trying to undertake health care reform that costs less and does good things for the people of Colorado, they're going to really need to come together. Because, again, even if this bill, my bill, passes here, there still is much more work to be done. You still have to develop that detailed plan. You still have to then bring that plan back to the legislature for a final up or down vote, and then you probably still have to take it to the voters of Colorado. And even if my bill gains nothing by just rolling over the critics and beating them by votes in the legislature, because the plan will ultimately still fail unless groups like Healthcare for All are involved in its development and help advocate for it. And we need the broadest spectrum as possible. And my plan, you know, I hesitate to describe my plan as the business community, because yes, you have some chambers and some business groups supporting it, but you also have some chambers and other business groups opposing
right.
it. What I think we've done is, or, you know, if you, again, oversimplified, I'm not trying to be insulting to anybody, but if you kind of look at Healthcare for All and place them on the left of the political spectrum, I think we've shifted the spectrum a little bit to the right with my hybrid bill. But we really need to broaden it out to both the left and the right if we're going to get either of these things through.
Well, and I think people should remember that I mentioned this a couple of months ago, that the health insurance industry is also moving right now. They actually have said, they have issued a release. The National Healthcare Industry Trade Association has said that they're willing to trade to end analyzing people's pre-existing conditions in exchange for a healthcare mandate, a mandate that people buy insurance. So the politics of this issue are certainly changing and certainly in flux. And listen, we wish you the best with your efforts. You know, I'll just state it right here. I'm one of these people who thinks that a single payer system is the best option. But this is such a life and death issue that if we can take a positive step forward. And there's a difference between a positive and a negative step, but if we can take a positive step forward, you know, so many people are dying or suffering because of this system. I think we cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and we're gonna debate it out here after the break. So State Representative Joe Rice, thank you very much for taking the time this morning. Good luck with the bill.
David, thank you, and I think you said it perfectly. We've got to figure out something that moves the ball forward.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
You too. That was State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton. Talking about health care. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The last part of this hour, we're going to take your calls on the traffic issue, and then we're going to shift gears, and I'm going to throw out a new question. So stick around. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Cops have cleaned up that crash southbound 225 around Parker Road. Still seeing some heavy jams there coming out of Aurora, though, back around Mississippi. Also, stop and go westbound 36 McCaslin out to Foothills. And on 25, normal jams coming in out of Northland 120th down to 84th. And again, after I-70... and that takes you past Spear Boulevard. Got a couple large accidents out there on the surface streets. One involves five vehicles at 128th and Washington there in the northwestern part of town. Also got a four-vehicle crash at Handen and Happy Canyon. That's causing major delays on the crash is on the eastbound side, but westbounders jammed all the way back to 25, and eastbounders looks like all the way back past University. Forecast, mostly sunny, breezy, and warm. High of 81 right now downtown, checking in at 54 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the NBA playoffs is on TNT. The Celtics showed veteran poise to even the series. Now, can the Bulls take the lead at home? Then the Jazz look to regroup against the Lakers. Don't miss Celtics-Bulls Game 3 and Lakers-Jazz Game 3 tonight at 6 on TNT.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your...
Hey there, everybody. I'm Karen. Here's how I'm saving money and helping to save the planet. I get a great price on these Nature Source cleaning products at Walmart. They're plant-based, so they're good for my family and the planet. And if all 200 million of us Walmart shoppers each used one bottle of Nature Source instead of a petroleum-based cleaner, we'd save over 1.7 million gallons of petroleum. Now that's some real cleaning power. And hey, at these prices, we can all make a difference.
Budget-friendly prices, earth-friendly products. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, it's me, NBC Thursday Night. You know, the one that's after Wednesday but before Friday. Just thought I'd call and say thanks for watching all my new shows last week. Remember the all-new Parks and Recreation when Amy Poehler said that thing you thought was funny? And there were all-new episodes of Earl, The Office, and 30 Rock. Then at 10, 9 Central, there was Southland, that new drama critics are calling gripping and suspenseful. Yes, that was me, NBC Thursday. So how about we do that again this week? Thank God it's not Friday, you know?
Then watch Colorado's news leader, 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If it can come off right now, thank you.
9 wants to know, found out, tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Out last night after the market, so the market didn't have time to digest them while it was open yesterday. Apple posted when the market closed better than expected earnings by 24 cents. eBay beat their earnings by about a nickel a share, so that's good for the tech stocks, and that ought to help them going forward. I think that's helping the market stay up this morning in light of the bad news that you spoke of, David. We are going through a workshop here. It's free to you. We're not selling anything. We're talking about our position on the market and a way to look at the market and a way to perhaps participate when the market goes up and participate when it goes down. It's Thursday the 7th and Saturday the 9th. Thursday is at 6:30 at night. Saturday is 9 a.m. If you'd like more information on that, it is a free workshop. Give us a call. We'll get out an invite to you and let you know about it. It fills up very quickly. We did one a month and a half ago, and it filled up. The number is 303-749-2770. Isn't that right?
Again, that's the number, 303-749-2770. I encourage everybody to go to one of those events. The more educated you can be, the better. Mike Spear, Presidential Brokers. Thanks so much, man. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, David, thanks.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, it's me, NBC Thursday Night. You know, the one that's after Wednesday but before Friday. Just thought I'd call and say thanks for watching all my new shows last week. Remember the all-new Parks and Recreation when Amy Poehler said that thing you thought was funny? And there were all-new episodes of Earl, The Office, and 30 Rock. Then at 10, 9 Central, there was Southland, that new drama critics are calling gripping and suspenseful. Yes, that was me, NBC Thursday. So how about we do that again this week? Thank God it's not Friday, you know?
Then watch Colorado's news leader, 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If it can come off right now, thank you.
9 wants to know, found out, tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman from KKZN. If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. Yes, we've all heard that home equity loans are hard to get these days, but TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. I can tell you that the hardworking lenders at TCF Bank want to make loans. Find out what TCF Bank can do for you. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or talk to a lender today. Call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
10:57, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mike in Denver. Mike.
Hey,
whoa.
Good morning, David.
Little feedback there.
I was crazy with the phone chair.
Yeah, you okay?
I'm all right, but... Oh, there we go.
There you go.
No. I don't know. Maybe this isn't going to work, man.
Go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the... There you go. I think the warning signs are a terrible idea.
Why do you think they're a terrible idea?
Because, I mean, they don't. That's the only type of law enforcement that they warn you about. I mean, they don't, like, you know, if they're going to do a prostitution sting on Colfax, they don't put a sign up that says, warning, prostitution sting ahead, John's beware.
I didn't think about it that way. You're totally right.
It's silly. I mean, truthfully, speeding through residential neighborhoods is, I think, one of the most low-class things you can do. So what they really need to do is put those vans in all the school zones in town, and you know what? If they rack up $1 million a day, eventually people will learn the lesson.
Hey, I made that point.
It's a terrible idea.
I made that point to start this. which is that I got nailed near a school, not at a school, but near one for going 8 miles an hour over the speed limit. I have never sped near there. Thanks for the call, Mike. Everybody stick around. I'm going to throw out a new topic after the break.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name calling. The country is done with this us versus them conversation.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We have spoken.
Mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Are you still waxing?
Yeah, I know it's painful, but I don't want to cut myself shaving.
Why not smooth away those unwanted hairs?
What?
Smooth Away, the specially designed pad that buffs away unwanted hair in seconds.
But it hurts, right?
No way. That's why it's called Smooth Away. Here, try it.
Wow, that is smooth. It feels soft, like suede.
Exactly. The super fine crystals on the pad gently remove hair and exfoliate dead skin. It's even gentle enough to use on your face.
That's so cool.
No wonder it's the most popular women's product in Europe.
Try Smooth Away completely risk-free. Call 1-800-450-0135. That's 1-800-450-0135.
Wow, look at my legs. Smooth.
Call now to learn how to get a second Smooth Away free. Call 1-800-450-0135. That's 1-800-450-0135. Supplies are limited, so call now.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan.
We've got a fire on our hands.
Big trouble in a vacation paradise. A wildfire north of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, has destroyed 40 homes and threatens more prime real estate.
The wind-whipped fire jumped a main highway overnight, spreading into a subdivision, chasing 2,500 people from their homes. North Myrtle Beach Mayor Marilyn Hatley has had a look at the damage.
There are houses that are damaged and there are houses that are destroyed. It's a situation to where there may be three houses destroyed and one or two damaged, and then some of the other houses are not damaged at all.
There's a wildfire threat all across the Carolinas with low humidity, unseasonably warm weather, and high winds. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A deadly day in Iraq. Two suicide bombings, more than 70 dead. Reporter Neil Aaron says one attacker hit Iraqi humanitarian workers in Baghdad.
There's scenes of carnage everywhere and, of course, a lot of chaos.
Another bombing targeted Iranian pilgrims outside the capital, and there's word a top Al-Qaeda in Iraq leader was arrested today, former CIA analyst Michael Scheuer.
This guy is a genuine leader. It's going to have a negative impact on the group. Otherwise, it's just one more person we've picked up.
The government says 640,000 people filed for first-time jobless benefits last week, more than expected. More than 6 million Americans are getting jobless benefits now. General Motors workers are bracing for some time off, a 9-week shutdown at most U.S. plants this summer.
Certainly hurt me if I was gone for 9 weeks. I'll just have to rely on the unemployment for a little bit.
The Treasury Department is asking banks and hedge funds to forgive most of Chrysler's debt in exchange for a 5% stake in the company. Have the rates on your credit cards gone up? One of Carolyn Chaplin's shot up from 2% to 27%.
I think someone should have done this a long time ago, stepped in and did something way before now.
Today at the White House, major players in the credit card industry should get an earful.
President Obama is expected to tell the credit card industry executives to clean up procedures on their own or face the mandatory rules that Congress is already considering. Among the administration's top concerns, what it sees as lending abuses involving arbitrary interest rate increases and late fee charges often hidden in very fine print.
That's CBS's Peter Mayer. After 9/11, teenage volunteering spiked. Now it's dropped off.
Why are fewer American kids volunteering?
Young people today are actually quite idealistic and pretty much eager to serve if offered opportunities.
Peter Levine, Tufts University.
So I wouldn't locate the reason for this decline in young people's heads or souls or hearts. I think it has more to do with what's available to them.
His research suggests a lack of federal funding for volunteer service projects, and a lot of 16-year-olds are choosing part-time work over volunteering. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
And more economic news. Existing home sales were down 3% in March. Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 52, and the NASDAQ is off 10. This is CBS News.
Summer is coming, so protect your plants from the dry, hot weather now with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Soils. They store water and release it only when plants need it, so you don't need to worry about over or underwatering. And Moisture Control Soils contain Miracle-Gro plant food to feed for up to 3 months, so plants grow twice as big. moisture control potting mix, and moisture control garden soil. The right soils for hot summer weather. Moisture control soils takes the guesswork out of watering.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado lawmakers have passed a budget for next year that preserves money for higher education. Democrats didn't like $15 million in cuts for health clinics for the uninsured, but ultimately voted for the bill. Republicans criticized the budget committee for not cutting enough and for relying on new taxes on cigarettes and vending machine snacks. 32-year-old Alan Andrade will spend the rest of his life in prison. A Greeley jury convicted Andrade of first-degree murder in the killing of 18-year-old transgendered Angie Zapata. The Anti-Defamation League is applauding the verdict.
This verdict sends a message across this state and, in fact, across the country that all people are welcome and safe in Colorado, regardless of their gender identity.
The ADL's Bruce Dabosky says the conviction underscores the need for federal hate crimes laws under consideration in Congress. New oil and gas drilling guidelines signed by Governor Ritter have environmentalists cheering, but not all are happy.
You know, it's a death by a thousand cuts, but number one, they have the ability to hold up permitting and the permitting process.
Republicans. Investment in the state and will be especially hard for workers on the western slope. Sports, Nuggets over the New Orleans Hornets, 108-93. The Nuggets now have a 2-0 lead in that series, and the Rockies lose to Arizona 2-0. They're back home, off today, then the Dodgers visit Coors Field this weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Big-time delays on the westbound side of the turnpike right around McCaslin, so factor that into your ride if you are heading to Boulder. That drive between the tech center and downtown, this on either direction of I-25, going to take you about 20 to 30 minutes this morning. Eastbound 6th Avenue, still heavy from about Sheridan to I-25. Speeds are going to be in the 30s and 40s through that stretch. Could even dip a little worse than that. We've got a 4-car accident. This is at Hampton and Happy Canyon. Big backups on both sides to that accident. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
This message only lasts 15 seconds. That's not long, but it is long enough for a great motorcycle ride to go really, really bad. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
807, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is some crazy news. This is just crazy. This is right off the wire. Minuteman founder Chris Simcox announced his bid for the U.S. Senate against John McCain Wednesday in Arizona. Chris Simcox is, Chris Simcox is way out there. I cannot believe he is running for office. That's out of Arizona this morning. That will be a very, very interesting primary. And obviously it will focus in on immigration. So a little news roundup, and then we're going to get to a new call, a new question of the hour. First, some very, very local news. I'm going to give you an update on Jay in Westward this morning. I'm going to read you this Westward story because a lot of people have been asking what's going on with Jay, and rightly so. Everybody's worried about him. In late February, Jay Marvin, morning talk show host for AM 760, had his gallbladder removed, surgery that's generally considered to be rather minor. But almost 2 months later, he still hasn't returned to the microphone. And unfortunately, his return isn't imminent. According to Mary Marvin, Jay's wife, he's scheduled to undergo a series of tests this week that are intended to identify a mass near his spinal column, one of several serious health concerns that have surfaced since the initial procedure. Mary says that in February, Jay began exhibiting flu-like symptoms, and in the days that followed, his right side kept hurting more and more. After his gallbladder surgery, he was diagnosed with hepatitis. And when the blood work didn't identify the particular type of hepatitis, his liver biopsy was sent to specialists in New York. Shortly thereafter, doctors determined that Jay was suffering from Budd-Chiari syndrome, an ailment caused by a blood clot and some blocked veins. And then physicians subsequently found a mass on his spinal column that they are checking out this week. So we're rooting for you, Jay. Everybody send out their best prayers and best thoughts to Jay right now. These tests are serious, and we'll know more soon. But that's the update on Jay. Local news. Denver Post reports that financial backers of InDenver Times and many of its employees, the former staff members of the Rocky Mountain News, are parting ways, likely meaning that the effort to create a replacement for the Rocky Mountain News is dead, at least for now. Denver Councilman Chris Nevitt says that Mayor John Hickenlooper gave him the green light to move forward on a worker retention ordinance, but is now caving to business interests. The mayor this week sided with business interests in opposing a bill that would require the winning bidders on city service contracts to keep for at least 90 days the employees of the previous contract holders. This is to prevent that when the city changes contracts that people don't immediately get laid off. They at least have like a 90-day window to try to get back on their feet. Chris Nevitt, the city councilman pushing this bill, says that President Obama thinks there's a need for this kind of legislation, noting that Obama issued a workforce retention executive order for all federal facilities in his first 2 weeks in office. And Nevitt is saying that Hickenlooper is caving to corporate interests. We'll try to get Chris Nevitt on at some point in the next couple of days to discuss this bill. Denver Post, a last-ditch effort to allow police to stop drivers for not wearing their seatbelts is underway in hopes of luring $20 million in federal funds to the state. State Representative Joe Rice, who we just had on, said that he sponsored seatbelt laws because they save lives, but this time part of his motive is a federal transportation bill that offers money to states as an incentive for tougher seatbelt laws. If you toughen your seatbelt laws, you get the money. It's $20 million potentially for Colorado. Good economic news here at home. Foreclosure activity in Metro Denver declined at one of the fastest rates in the nation during the first quarter. Bad political news for Senator Michael Bennett. New poll shows that though Bennett has been in office less than 3 full months, 41% of likely voters said they disapproved of his job performance, compared with just 34% who approved. And as voters get to know Bennett, says the Denver Post, the polls show they don't like the job he is doing. So the better known he gets, the less liked he becomes. Colorado Springs Gazette dog, the bounty hunter, reportedly encountered gunfire while chasing down a bail jumper in Colorado Springs on Tuesday night. So dog is in Colorado. Highlands Ranch and Centennial, named among the 250 most affluent U.S. cities. Bill Ritter signed the Colorado oil and gas rules, the new rules, which were very controversial. He signed them. That's great news. These are rules that finally ask the oil and gas permitting process to take into account environmental and wildlife concerns. A bill that would have offered incentives for the state to use American-made steel in public works projects died in the Colorado House. That's too bad. Nine News has a story about how a new trend called pre-foreclosure or foreclosure sales often cost taxpayers thousands of dollars, often leave taxpayers holding the bag. National news. Congressional support is growing for an inquiry into Wall Street woes, so says the New York Times. Lawmakers in Congress are moving closer to creating what was known as a PCORA commission. That was the famous commission that investigated the Wall Street collapse after the Great Depression, and they're looking at creating that now to look at the Wall Street collapse, the most recent Wall Street collapse. Democrats are considering bypassing filibuster rules when it comes to health care, potentially using a tactic that would allow them to pass any health care reform with just 51 votes in the Senate. Washington Post says that Condoleezza Rice, John Ashcroft, and other top Bush administration officials approved as early as the summer of 2002. The CIA's use at secret prisons of harsh interrogation methods. So as early as 2002, torture started. Very bad economic news. General Motors Corp. is planning to temporarily close most of its U.S. factories for up to 9 weeks this summer because of slumping sales and growing inventories of unsold vehicles. Analysts say the company could be seeing sales decline in part because of talk about a potential bankruptcy. Now, in the first couple hours, we talked about this new rule, this new law here in Colorado, to mandate cities warn you about speed traps. Put signs up in front of speed traps so that you know that they're there. We're going to shift gears now. And we're going to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. See if we can gong it open here. All right. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open, and we are going to throw out the question. There's a bill in the legislature. We just heard from State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton. There's a bill in the legislature to create a universal health care system, and the key piece of it is to mandate that you buy insurance, that you buy some kind of insurance. State Representative Rice said that they're going to, the authority that would create this system would create a public option so that you could buy into a public option. If you didn't have enough money, it would expand Medicaid so it would effectively subsidize you to get into that program. But the philosophical question that I want to hear your thoughts on, do you think the way to fix the healthcare system is in part to mandate, to force by law, people to buy health insurance? This is one of the major things they've done in Massachusetts. This was a major point of contention between Obama and Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary. Hillary Clinton said that we should mandate health insurance coverage. Obama said, you know, the problem isn't that people don't want to buy health insurance, it's that they can't afford it. What do you think? We got open phones, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Should we force people to buy health insurance, or is that too much government? Is that too much of a government mandate? Or does that assume a problem exists that's not really the problem? Does that assume that the real problem in healthcare is that people don't want to buy health insurance? Put another way, is it diagnosing the wrong symptom? Was Barack Obama right in saying that the real problem is people can't afford insurance? It's not that they're choosing not to have it. Do we need to mandate everybody buy health insurance in Colorado? 303-713-7600. We'll get to all your calls. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Still working some pretty heavy traffic jams out there as we're trying to get ready to wrap up the morning commute. Southbound 25, still real busy. 58th Avenue past Spear Boulevard. Going to hit the brakes there. Speeds in the teens and 20s. Also really busy southbound 225 Parker Road down to 25. Had an early accident mess things up there. Also a lot of traffic heading westbound on the Turnpike right now. A couple different spots. First Sheridan to Church Ranch, and again from McCaslin to Foothills, and that little stretch there is stop and go, speeds in the teens, so do add that into your drive out to Boulder. Eastbound side, a little sluggish there coming in from Sheridan to 25. Also eastbound approaches on 6th Avenue, busy there at Sheridan as well. One accident out there on the radar, four cars involved at Hamden and Happy Canyon. It's on the eastbound side, but causing major delays for both directions there. Westbounder is going to hit it at I-25. Your forecast, mostly sunny, a high around 80. Right now, 58 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your...
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
When your allergies hit, hit back with new Claritin Liquigels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquigels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquigels and live Claritin Clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquigels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
Have a Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I was going to tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
There's ordinary grass seed, and then there's Smart Seed. Only one gives you a lawn that needs less water. And not just this year, but every year. It's called Pennington Smart Seed. Smart because it grows a deeper, denser root system that requires up to 30% less water. And Smart Seed saves water every year for the life of your lawn. Grow a lush, beautiful lawn that needs less water with the only Smart Seed, Pennington Smart Seed. For more information, visit smartseed.com.
This is Tom Hartman. Join me at AM 760 at the Denver Green Festival, May 2nd and 3rd at the Colorado Convention Center. Find out how neighbors, community nonprofits, and city departments are working together to make Denver a healthier, greener place to live.
I am green today.
I'll be giving a keynote talk on May 2nd, so be sure to stop by. It's the Denver Green Festival with me, Tom Hartman, and AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Details are at am760.net.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. 53 degrees in Denver, going up to 78 degrees. Another night on my porch. Sitting out in the nice weather. That's what I'm looking forward to already. I know it's only 8:20 in the morning. Well, you got to have these things in your mind to keep you going through the day. All right, let's go to the phones. The open question in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Should we mandate everybody in Colorado buy health insurance? That's a part of a proposal by State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton, now moving through the legislature, to mandate everybody buy health insurance. What do you think about this? Jeff in Centennial, what do you think?
Dave, I would say yes. And as a healthcare professional, I would have to say yes. We mandate people have car insurance, and I think we should mandate that people who can afford health insurance have health insurance.
Oh, but wait a minute. Hold on. We mandate people have car insurance, or we don't mandate people have cars?
No, but that's why I said people who can afford people who can't afford to have cars don't have cars.
Yeah, but what I know, and what I'm saying is, and I'm just playing with you a little bit, but
sure.
but the point here is that you, this bill goes farther than car insurance, because with car insurance, technically, you don't have to have a car. With health insurance, if you're a human, you under this bill, you have to have it.
If you can afford it.
If you can afford it. And you're right, they would probably subsidize you to get it if you can't afford it. So you're for it. So let me then throw this at you. What do you think about Barack Obama, who, when he opposed the mandate, said, look, the problem is that people... problem is not that we have to force people to buy it. The problem is that people... we have to make it more affordable.
I agree. And so in addition to making sure that people can, we mandate that people have health insurance, we should also mandate that insurance companies pay out when they're supposed to pay out and not keep raising your premiums just so that they can make billions of dollars on the other end and pay it out to CEOs. I agree with Barack Obama. He's absolutely correct.
Yeah, but he opposed the mandate.
I understand. I certainly understand that. I think he opposed it because he believed that people weren't getting insurance, not because they didn't want it, but because they couldn't afford it. Look at people who drive around in brand new cars every single day and don't have health insurance.
Yeah, well, there's certainly an argument for this that would basically, by law, mandate that people make more responsible spending decisions. That's for sure. That is for sure. The question, though, is, again, is how many of the people who don't have insurance are choosing not to have it? That's really the question. But look, this is a tough nut to crack. I think, you know, my take is ultimately that you're going to need to get to a single payer system to make this work. To make any of this work, and that if this gets us closer to that, I'm probably going to support the concept of it. Jeff, thanks for the call. Steve in Westminster. Steve.
Yeah, hi. It's actually Peter.
Oh.
I moved here from New Zealand, and in New Zealand, healthcare is covered by the country.
Yep.
And, you know, I was just talking to my dad the other day. I just finished paying my taxes, worked out my final amount percentage to what I earned. And I was talking to him, and he's telling what I paid. And he goes, yeah, about 30% of what you earn, because we're both self-employed. I'm self-employed. He was self-employed there. He says, yeah, about 30% of what you earn. That sounds right. So he's paying the same percentage of taxes in New Zealand as I'm paying here against his income, yet health care and dental care is covered by the country. I think people here have got some sort of fear that if the government pays for it and government does, it's going to cost them a lot of money. And that's not true.
There's a huge amount of money that we as a society can save if we ever got to a universal single-payer healthcare system.
Right.
That's basically undebatable. It's basically not really up for debate. What conservatives who are against that argue, they don't even argue on cost anymore. What they say is, well, this would mean rationing, it would mean government bureaucrats controlling the healthcare system, and they basically make these glib arguments, you know, I don't want the people who run the post office running my healthcare. Now, I mean, that's basically the sum of their arguments.
Right.
And they're silly, and they're oversimplistic, and most people in Medicare, according to polls, this is survey data, this is not just anecdotal. People in Medicare are far happier with their health insurance than people in the private market. The private market, anybody who's dealt with a private health insurance company knows that rationing is already happening. So the conservatives are really cornered. And there was a story in the Hill newspaper, in the Politico, about how Republicans and the right don't really have a good argument right now on health care. And I guess as we look at it in this state, the question, and this is, shows how much the debate has moved, which is good. The question doesn't seem to be anymore whether we should do universal health care. It's what kind of program, what kind of plan can we enact here? And this issue of forcing people to buy health insurance, you know,
I see the logic in it. You need to increase the risk pool. You need to make, if you make everybody buy it, both the healthy and the not healthy, you're going to spread the risk, and that's going to lower the cost for everybody. But I just wonder if it's diagnosing the wrong problem. I wonder how many people who don't have health insurance are quote-unquote, choosing not to have health insurance.
I don't have health insurance.
Well, why not?
And I choose not to have health insurance.
So you're one of the people who would be forced to change your decisions.
Yeah, and I look after my health. I haven't seen a doctor in probably 20 years. So why would I pay on a regular basis for something expensive like that when I'm not using it?
Yeah, well, I mean, but what happens when you get into a car accident or you break your leg?
Then that's a problem, isn't it?
That is the problem.
You know?
I mean, you're playing with fire.
Well,
I mean, I'm not trying to chastise you here, but I...
No, I understand that, but you're playing with fire and everything you do if you live, you know what I'm saying? That's life, isn't it?
Well,
life contains.
I mean, I guess, but I'm the kind of guy who doesn't like. I try to prevent as many what I might call cliffs in my life as possible. The things that I can prevent. The idea that if I broke my leg, I might be bankrupt, is a little too big a cliff for me, and so that's why I buy health insurance. And I'm fortunate enough. I should say this. I am fortunate enough to be able to afford health insurance. And what I'm saying to you, and again, I'm not trying to be a scold. Everyone's got to make their own choices, although under this bill, you'd be legally compelled to buy it. But, you know, you're playing with fire. I mean, the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country is a medical debt. So, right. So I'm just telling you, man, be careful. Stay safe, okay?
Oh, I stay safe. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break. Open question, do you think State Representative Joe Rice's bill to force you to buy health insurance is a good idea or a bad idea? 303-713-7600. Deborah in Denver. Deborah, what do you think?
Well, you know, I have been doing insurance billing for the last 20 years, and I have watched the insurance companies gouge more and more, and to the point where if something isn't done, the next big bang, so to speak, is going to be the insurance industry, because it's making people 50 and over unemployable, because employers are not going to pay $700 and $800 and $900 a month premiums for their older employees. And I have watched insurance companies charge more and more and more and more monthly to patients and then pay less and less and less out. And right now the big game is, let's make everything pre-existing, including fatigue, who hasn't ever had fatigue in their life? I mean, come on.
Right.
They're making everything pre-existing, so they're not paying out, putting everything back on the patient's back. I used to send out maybe 100 bills a month, and maybe 10 years ago it was 75 bills a month. Now, by and large, every single patient comes in, has to pay a portion of what they are billed out, because the insurance does not ever pay at all. So my thought was, if Medicare is so bad, and I think doctors are afraid of Medicare because they don't understand it and because they're afraid of it. They hear all of these claims that if there's one thing wrong with your billing, it's fraud, and you're charged hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees and fines. And that's so untrue if you just understand it. It doesn't pay that badly. I know a lot of doctors feel that it does, but it really doesn't, especially compared to some of the HMOs that are around now.
Well, that's for sure. When you put it up against the private health insurance market, you're in many cases you're absolutely right. So you're for this bill.
I believe that something has to be done or it's going to collapse.
I mean, that is the truest of truism I've heard all morning. Thanks for the call. All right, one more quick call. 303-713-7600. Do you agree with State Representative Joe Rice's bill, State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton, his bill to force you, to mandate you by law to buy health insurance? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Dave in Denver, what do you think?
I think it's an absolutely terrible idea, because we already know with car insurance
what? Really, depending on the thing you, depending on whose data you look at, between a fourth and a sixth of the people don't buy car insurance. And what do we do with them? Nothing. That's what. So what are you going to do with people who don't pay? Nothing. Right?
Well, I don't know what the punishment for not having it is. In Massachusetts, I believe they use the tax laws to fine you. I don't know what the punishment would be. I mean, are you actually going to throw people in jail if they don't buy health insurance? You know, I don't know. I think I don't know what the punishment is.
And Dave, look at car insurance. How many people are really uninsured, which is against the law?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how many people don't.
Between a sixth and a quarter to most really surveys and most studies that have been done. A sixth to a quarter.
Now, if you get pulled over and you don't have insurance, I mean, you're in a lot of trouble.
Dave, look at all of the illegals in our state. They don't have car insurance, and they're not in trouble. What is the worst thing that'll happen to them? They get deported, but they don't even get deported.
All right, what's your point? So let me ask you a question. If no one's going to buy it anyway, why is this such a bad idea? I'm just playing by your logic. If people aren't going to buy health insurance, then who cares whether it's mandated or not?
It doesn't solve the problem. And just as the lady before me just said, there is a horrible problem. The problem is we need to outlaw insurance companies. If this is something that's important to the people of the United States, it should be done by the government. Listen to your news at the top of the app. They're basically arguing about these government services that have been privatized, and now they want to make rules that if the contract changed, you have to keep the employees for 90 days. No, we shouldn't do that. If it's an important service, it should be done by the government, and we can have fair rules apply. And all we're doing with this really privatization stuff is we're enriching insurance companies. And I will point out to you that a couple years ago, I think it was the chairman of basically United Healthcare paid himself
$1 billion. That's right. Yeah, no, that's right.
Why aren't people livid about that?
I agree. And I think you make the right point. At a conceptual level, that ultimately things that we value as a common good, we have to come together as a community and do. And by that, whether you like it or not, government is the representative of the public in public policy. That's what it does. And so ultimately, I agree, we got to get to a single-payer healthcare system. The question on this bill is this a step in the right direction? Dave, you're saying it isn't, and I respect that. 8:35, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around, because after the break, I'm going to read you a couple of stats that gets right underneath this question of whether we should mandate health insurance. Because the question is that really the problem? Are the people who are not insured choosing to be uninsured? Because if they are choosing, if they're making a free choice, then mandating health insurance would seem to be the right step. You're addressing the problem. But the question is, are they choosing to be uninsured? That's what I'm going to answer after the break. 303-713-7600 is the number to get in on the conversation. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Dave, new crash eastbound 6th Avenue, east of Sheridan Boulevard, causing some problems there as you're in between Denver and Lakewood. Also, got a crash cleaned up now, finally, or actually it's still in the cleanup phase. I'm seeing it right now. Four cars involved, Hamden and Happy Canyon, should be out of your way shortly, but that has caused some major delays there out just outside of the Texas Center for both eastbounders and westbounders, just east of I-25 on Hamden. Stop-and-go conditions still on 225 southbounders, Parker Road to 25. Same deal on I-25 heading into downtown on the southbound side, 58th past Spear Boulevard, and for northbounders, Emerson Street Bridge to 6th Avenue, also showing speeds in the teens there. Your forecast today, mostly sunny, breezy and warm with a high 81. Right now, we're at 59 degrees downtown. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't fight against Mother Nature. Work with her. Use Colorado-made, organic-based Pro-Rich turf food this spring for a lush, beautiful lawn. Pro-Rich contains everything your lawn needs to be healthy, thick, and strong. Visit richlawn.com for a dealer near you. Go green. Go Rich Lawn.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, the...
Thank you.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream Sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds money depend on number of entries. As May 16th, each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
Job 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com. That's 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If you can come off right now, thank you.
Nine wants to know, found out, tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Are you tired of wasting billions of dollars bailing out AIG and Wall Street, paying themselves billions in taxpayer-funded bonuses? There is an alternative bold stimulus plan for all of America that will actually work. The one-year mortgage holiday 8-point stimulus plan is the silver bullet solution to curing the housing, credit, and banking crises. The mortgage holiday plan will immediately jumpstart our economy, create millions of jobs, stimulate growth, and generate long-term economic prosperity. Because we the people will be able to redirect our mortgage payments and decide how best to spend, save, and invest our own money. Apartment, office, and retail tenants could also benefit by receiving a 25 to 50% monthly savings in rent. The mortgage holiday is the ultimate trickle-up stimulus plan that will empower all of Main Street. So call your representatives and the White House and tell them to support the mortgage holiday that's supported by the majority of Americans. For details, visit SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
Do you like to pay off your consumer debt in months and your mortgage in a fraction of the time? To learn how, listen to Go Debt Free Go, Saturdays at 10 a.m. on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Or register right now for your free financial freedom workshop at GoDebtFreeGo.com.
Hey, 8:41, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. How many of you know people from high school that embarrass you? You're embarrassed to know. I just found out recently that Bill O'Reilly's producer, who, like, ambushes people and tracks them down, like, you know, stakes them out in front of their house and, like, kind of goes crazy on them, this guy named Jesse Waters, I went to high school with, he's become, like, Bill O'Reilly's henchman. It's pathetic.
Thug.
Yeah, seriously, he's like a Bill O'Reilly thug. I mean, imagine how much you'd hate yourself if you grew up to be Bill O'Reilly's thug. And not, you didn't just grow up to be Bill O'Reilly, right? You grew up to be Bill O'Reilly's minion. I mean, that is, that's a pretty bad road. I'm embarrassed to know this guy. All right, as promised, I want to make sure that everybody knows a couple of stats about this question. This question of whether people who don't have insurance have chosen to not have insurance. Because this is really the question at the heart of whether we should mandate people buying health insurance. And
the idea that people are choosing not to have insurance, this is an age-old claim. Joe Klein wrote a Time Magazine's Joe Klein, really one of the most, he's one of the most odious human beings in the media. He wrote a column a while ago about Massachusetts, and he said Massachusetts now spends about $1 billion a year to provide health care for at least 500,000 uninsured citizens. About 200,000 of those are young people who are making enough money to buy health insurance but figure they don't need it. He doesn't offer up any evidence for that. He just throws that out there. They'd be required to buy a relatively inexpensive health insurance policy with higher deductibles. Another 100,000 are extremely poor who would be eligible for Medicaid. An effort will be made to bring them into the system. The remaining 200,000 are the people who have been the most neglected by the system in the past. And the issue then is, well, Klein was saying that the people who are uninsured in Massachusetts, at least half of them, are just choosing not to be insured. Now, when I lived in Montana, there was a landmark study about this question, recent study in Montana, that found that 90% of people who are uninsured report being unable to buy health insurance after paying for food, clothing, and shelter. And Malcolm Gladwell, the author of the New Yorker reporter, the author of Outliers, the author of The Tipping Point, he wrote a terrific story in The New Yorker about this woman named Gina, about her health care costs. And he said, Gina, for instance, works for a beauty salon that offers her a bare-bones health insurance plan with a $1,000 deductible for $200 a month. What's her total income? $900 a month. She could, quote, choose to accept health insurance, but only if she chose to stop buying food or paying the rent. And there was a study by Families USA that found 1 in 3 Americans could not afford financially to see a doctor at some point during the year. That was a couple of years ago, and those numbers have probably gotten worse because of the economic crisis. So my point here is I'm not saying yes or no on whether we should mandate people buying health insurance. I just want to make clear that if we're going to ask the question about whether we should mandate health insurance, we should ask the question, well, those who aren't buying insurance now, why are they not buying it? And the statistics would seem to suggest that most people don't buy it, not because they're not mandated to buy it, but because they can't afford to buy it. And they'd actually want to buy it anyway, if they could. 303-713-7600. The AM760 Progressive Dojo is now open. So we're debating this. Should we support State Representative Joe Rice's bill to force every Coloradan to buy health insurance as part of a universal health care plan? Let's go back to the phones. 303-713-7600. We're going to go to Daniel Kagan. Daniel Kagan is state representative, newly appointed.
That's correct.
That's right. You were filling the seat. You're from Denver, right?
I'm from South Central Denver and Englewood, and I was appointed by a vacancy committee to replace Ann McGeehan.
That's right. Okay, so what do you think?
Well, I'm very disappointed that John Kafalas's bill, 1273, which called for what paved the way toward a single-payer health care system in Colorado, failed.
I was disappointed, too.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I worked hard for John Kafalas's bill. I argued for it, in favor of it, on the floor of the House. And to his credit, State Representative Rice held back on his bill until he saw whether Kafalas's bill actually passed or did not pass. And he did that in order not to spoil the chances of Kafalas's bill. Now, Kafalas's bill has failed, sadly, in my opinion, and Joe Rice is coming forward with his proposal, and I think it's so seriously flawed that it's not really a great advance on the current situation for several reasons. I sit on the Health and Human Services Committee, and I hear from witness after witness who says that they have health insurance. they're actually buying health insurance, and they're long assumed that they were safe, sound, and that if anything went wrong health-wise in their family, they'd be covered. And they've found out, much to their grief, that this was not the case at all, that by the time co-pays and caps and exceptions had been factored in, when a serious health crisis hit the family, they ended up struggling mightily as if they'd never had insurance. And so mandating that people join a system which really doesn't work even for those that are already in it is something that I can't be too terribly enthusiastic about.
What about the idea, and this is what State Representative Joe Rice said. He said he expects that there would be a public plan that you could buy into. And theoretically, that public plan could be a heck of a lot better than the private offerings.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. And if he can pull it off, it would be marvelous. But I'm not confident that it can actually be done.
So if I understand you, what you're saying is you're worrying that we're going to create this mandate and that there's a possibility that you have a mandate to buy health insurance. There wouldn't be a public option, or there would be a very weak one. And so you, basically the mandate would serve just as an insurance subsidy.
What I'm worried about. I'm worried that the mandate would make people feel that we'd solved the problem, and it would take political steam out of the cooker. Because everyone would say, okay, there's a mandate, everybody's required to buy something.
Right, we fixed the problem.
We fixed the problem, and in fact we would not have fixed the problem at all.
Interesting. The political dynamics, you're right. I mean, a lot of passing major reforms on anything has to do with building up the political capital and the political will. And it is true that out of any industry, the health insurance industry has been adept at using half measures and really fake measures to try to take the steam out of, as you said, out of campaigns to really address this problem. State Representative Daniel Kagan, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Okay. That was State Representative Daniel Kagan of Denver, just appointed to fill an absence. And he was saying he's got concerns about State Representative Rice's bill. Again, to mandate that you buy health care in Colorado, what do you think about that bill? 303-713-7600 will go to Tiffany in Denver.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hi.
I am a small business owner, artist, entrepreneur, and what frustrates me the most is, okay, I can't afford health insurance. And when
you can
I
or you can't?
No, I cannot.
You can't?
I could not. No, everything gets poured back into my business. One thing that I do have, I have, business insurance. So if I hurt myself on the job, then I'm covered. If I hurt myself in my car, I have car insurance, so I'm covered. So I try to take preventative measures in my life. And then also my best friend is an acupuncturist. So, and my frustration is when I did have health insurance, I have a sleep disorder, and I've just kind of learned to live with it because of they weren't able to diagnose it. And my mom is turning 60, and she was paying $400 a month for health insurance, and she's perfectly healthy. And so I hear all these horror stories about people who've had insurance. So, oh, well, yeah, you're fine. You can have health insurance as long as you're healthy. But then as soon as you get sick, oh, well, we can't cover that, you know? And so I guess I just don't. I just think that the insurance companies are a huge racket. You know, they're bleeding us dry, and I wouldn't pay them my money.
Right, and we have to always remember, health insurance is the way we finance health care. Health insurance is different than health care. And so what we're talking about now is whether we should mandate people finance their health care through a specific financing system that exists right now. And as you said, there's a lot of problems with the existing one right now. Thanks for the call. 852, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, should we mandate everybody buy health insurance in Colorado? That's the bill in the legislature right now. Get in on the conversation. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic is starting to lighten up for us a little bit on the freeways around town. We do have some stop-and-go situations, though, still brewing. Southbound 225, Parker Road to 25, southbound I-25 from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Northbound side, a little busy there in the Tech Center. Also from Emerson Street Bridge to 6th Avenue, showing speeds in the 30s there. Westbound Turnpike also busy for us this morning. Sheridan to Church Ranch, and again from McCaslin to Foothill. Speeds in that stretch, though, going to be a little less as they are just barely popping into the teens and 20s. A couple crashes to look out for, one on eastbound 6th Avenue around Sheridan, and one involving four cars at Hamden and Happy Canyon. Your forecast, mostly sunny with a high around 80 right now, 59 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Colorado Pass is on sale for last spring's low price of only $439. Pay only $49 down for unlimited access to Breckenridge, Keystone, A-Basin, and 10 days at Vail and Beaver Creek. Go to ColoradoPass.com for sales locations and details.
For the last 8 years, there has been no global warming.
There has been significant global warming year by year.
That's a nice...
One tree can absorb as much carbon in a year as a car produces while driving 26,000 miles. Creekside Tree Nursery celebrates the tree at their season opening April 24th. Creekside Tree Nursery has the highest quality stock with the best selection and best prices in all of Boulder County. Visit them online at creeksideboulder.com. Then visit their season opening April 24th, just east of Boulder City on 61st between Valmont and J Road. Or call Jason and Shannon at 303-668-7644.
Ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
If you're thinking of designing your own engagement ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from the thousands of certified diamonds at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. You'll have the ring only you could create.
It can only be Jared!
Find the Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
You know, there's a lot to think about when you're buying a new car. Take the Accord from Honda, for example. It has a higher resale value than any of its competitors. And because of its exceptional engineering, it can mean low maintenance costs. So what's the bottom line? The Accord costs less money over the long term. And that's music to anyone's ears.
Based on AdMins.com's true costs are owned for the first 5 years of ownership. 2009 Accord, winner of the ALG Residual Value Award, midsize car segment.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. If you're holding, hold on through the break. Penny, Beth, Michelle, hang on. We'll get to your calls. After the break, we got to stop for the national news break. But we are talking about, for those just tuning in, we're talking about State Representative Joe Rice's bill to mandate all Coloradans buy health insurance. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600 is the number. I can see both sides of this. I'm one of these people who doesn't want to make the perfect the enemy of the good, but I don't want to create something that's actually bad. And so the devil is always in the details on this stuff, so that's why we're hashing it out here. And we'll continue hashing it out in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after the top of the news.
Tom Hartman, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net. It's great. Just download the iHeartRadio app for free. Find out how at AM760.net.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, it's me, NBC Thursday Night. You know, the one that's after Wednesday but before Friday. Just thought I'd call and say thanks for watching all my new shows last week. Remember the all-new Parks and Recreation when Amy Poehler said that thing you thought was funny? And there were all-new episodes of Earl, The Office, and 30 Rock. Then at 10, 9 Central, there was Southland, that new drama critics are calling gripping and suspenseful. Yes, that was me, NBC Thursday. So how about we do that again this week? Thank God it's not Friday, you know?
Then watch Colorado's news leader, 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If you can come off right now, I'm going to take it.
9 wants to know, found out tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. The latest week numbers, the weekly numbers, are out on jobless claims. The Labor Department says new applications rose unexpectedly last week, while the total number of Americans getting unemployment checks now tops 6.1 million. Not great, says economist Stuart Hoffman.
The best thing you can say, though, is now when you look at these numbers for about the last 8 weeks, meaning all through March and so far through April, they've leveled off.
There seems to be no end in sight to the real estate market's woes. The National Association of Realtors says last month sales of existing homes fell unexpectedly by 3%. Still, real estate analyst Mike Larson sees a silver lining.
I'd summarize the housing market. It's still struggling and still oversupplied, but you know, you could make a case the patients moved from the ICU to the long-term care wing of the hospital.
Jaw-boning time at the White House this afternoon as President Obama holds a meeting amid the growing credit card crunch. Here's CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier.
The president wants the credit card companies to change some of their practices before they're legally forced to do so. He wants them to stop hiking rates, even on customers who've been paying their bills on time, or suddenly charging a fee of $100 a year for a so-called no-fee card. Expect the credit card companies to say all the right things, but consumer advocates think they won't do anything until Congress forces them to. Kimberly Dozier, CBS News, the White House.
Dozens of homes burned, hundreds of people forced to seek safer ground.
There's smoke, yeah, and there's ashes falling around here.
Scott Altman, the assistant pastor at Tilly Swamp Baptist Church in South Carolina, where a wind-whipped wildfire is spreading toward the popular tourist destination of Myrtle Beach.
We had a special prayer service, and we prayed for the people. You know, the ones that are lost their houses or ones that are affected by the fire.
So far, no injuries have been reported. As a precaution, one section of Myrtle Beach has been evacuated. Two bombings have proved very deadly in Iraq today. In one, a suicide bomber killed at least 22 people in Baghdad, and the other more than 50. Mostly Iranian pilgrims were killed north of the capital. More from reporter Neil Aron.
It's an absolutely massive attack. It's almost certainly the biggest single bombing in Iraq this year in terms of casualties.
The Iraqi military says it's captured the man they suspect being the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. California authorities say 30 people are being treated for smoke inhalation after a fire aboard a commuter bus in Los Angeles. No one is said to be seriously injured. It was 25 years ago today that the government announced the discovery of the AIDS virus.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
25 years ago, they said 5 years from now there would be a cure.
But with HIV, change takes time, says Philip Garopoulos of AIDS Community Alliance here.
There's certainly still a high level of stigma associated with it. There's no doubt. And it really has been a struggle for people to move past that.
Knowledge has advanced, though, and treatment's a key reason this man, Frank, has survived HIV more than 25 years.
I do view them as a gift.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Harrisburg.
On Wall Street, the Dow is off 36 points, NASDAQ down 10. This is CBS News.
Ahoy there.
Hey, buddy, glad you could make it. Come on aboard.
I thought the two of us were going fishing. Who are all these people?
Shh, paparazzi.
Paparazzi?
Yeah, paparazzi. GEICO helped me save so much money on my boat insurance, I paid these people to treat me like a celebrity.
Huh, good move.
Saving you money on your boat insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. GEICO Power Sports. Insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you.
Denso Platinum TT spark plugs with twin tip technology for $1.99 at Advanced Auto Parts. Are you kidding me? That's an unbelievable price for a plug that's going to improve your performance and increase your mileage. All right, look, let me break it down for you, okay? That's a lot of spark for a lot of miles at a price that nobody else can match. Denso Platinum TT spark plugs are only at Advance. Now throw in some new ignition wires, and you're good to go. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado lawmakers have passed a budget for next year that preserves money for higher education. Democrats didn't like $15 million in cuts for health clinics for the uninsured, but ultimately voted for the bill. Republicans criticized the budget committee for not cutting enough and for relying on new taxes on cigarettes and vending machine snacks. 32-year-old Alan Andrade will spend the rest of his life in prison. A Greeley jury convicted Andrade of first-degree murder in the killing of 18-year-old transgendered Angie Zapata. The Anti-Defamation League is applauding the verdict.
This verdict sends a message across this state and, in fact, across the country that all people are welcome and safe in Colorado, regardless of their gender identity.
The ADL's Bruce Dabosky says the conviction underscores the need for federal hate crimes laws under consideration in Congress. New oil and gas drilling guidelines signed by Governor Ritter have environmentalists cheering, but not all are happy.
You know, it's a death by a thousand cuts, but number one, they have the ability to hold up permitting and the permitting process.
Republican Senator Greg Brophy of Ray. Brophy says the measure threatens investment in the state and will be especially hard for workers on the western slope. Sports, Nuggets over the New Orleans Hornets, 108-93. The Nuggets now have a 2-0 lead in that series, and the Rockies lose to Arizona 2-0. They're back home, off today, then the Dodgers visit Coors Field this weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're still seeing some leftover delays on the westbound side of the turnpike, right around McCaslin. Speeds are going to be in the teens and 20s on I-25 as you're making your way downtown. Also, there's some slowdowns just past Parker Road as you're making that curve up towards DTC. Crews are cleaning up an accident on 6th Avenue right around Sheridan. Could be a little bit sluggish as you're coming out of Lakewood. Now, on the flip side, we're seeing speeds get back to normal pretty quickly on C-470 as you're driving across Highlands Ranch. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of explaining your business over and over because of banker turnover? The business bankers at Citywide have been with the bank an average of 10
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Taking out a future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
M760 had his gallbladder removed, surgery that's generally considered to be rather minor. But 2 months later, he still hasn't returned to the microphone, and his return is not imminent. According to Jay's wife, Mary, he's undergoing a series of tests this week that are intended to identify a mass near his spinal column, one of several serious health concerns that have surfaced since the initial procedure. Jay came down first with hepatitis, and then they found this issue on his back, so they're testing it. So all of our thoughts and prayers are with you, Jay. Everybody send out good vibes to Jay. Quick news review in Denver Times, the newspaper that was purported to succeed the Rocky, the financial backers have pulled out of. So it doesn't look like that's going to fly. Denver Councilman Chris Nevitt is criticizing Mayor John Hickenlooper for caving into business interests. Hickenlooper pulled his support for Nevitt's bill to mandate a 90-day window when the city changes contracts, a 90-day window for the removal of the employees so there's not mass layoffs when the city decides to change contractors. State Representative Joe Rice is pushing a new bill to strengthen our seatbelt laws in state in exchange for $20 million in federal money. Metro foreclosures are plummeting. Foreclosure activity in Metro Denver declined at one of the fastest rates in the nation during the first quarter. New poll shows that as more people get to know Senator Michael Bennett, more people don't like him. That's a new poll out. Dog, the bounty hunter, was caught on camera in something of a gun battle down in Colorado Springs. Denver Business Journal reports that Highlands Ranch and Centennial are among the most affluent 250 most affluent cities in the United States. Bill Ritter signs the new oil and gas rules to finally force the oil and gas permitting process to consider wildlife and environmental concerns. A bill that would have incentivized giving contracts to companies that use American-made steel died in our legislature. Washington Post reports on the national scene that Bush administration officials ordered waterboarding and torture as early as 2002. And the story, and one other piece of national news just out of the I Kid You Not file. At a time when the New York Times managers are forcing all of its employees to take a 5% pay cut and demanding even larger sacrifices from the New York Times owned Boston Globe and its unions, top executives of the newspaper paid themselves substantial bonuses and fringe benefits over and above their salary. So the culture of greed is everywhere these days. And now we're going to get back to the phones. We're going to reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo and debate and talk about State Representative Joe Rice's bill to mandate everybody in Colorado to buy health insurance. What do you think about that? I think that it is something worth considering. I think there are ways that that mandate can be done very badly, to simply subsidize an insurance industry that isn't working. I think there are ways to make it work that it has a lot of merit, that if you create a public plan that's robust and good, give people an option to buy into that plan, that there's merit to the idea that part of what drives up healthcare costs is the fact that not everybody is in the healthcare system, and so we're not spreading risk, and so the costs go up. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones in the order that they were received. We're going to go to Beth and then Michelle. Beth in Lakewood.
Hey, Dave.
Hi there.
Your last three callers and Daniel Kagan were right on the money. I'm against this mandate. I'm sorry the single payer failed. But I want to tell you, why do we buy insurance? We buy insurance to protect our assets, our home, our cars, our savings, investments. Young people are healthy. They generally don't have many assets, and so they figure, well, I can go without health insurance. If you mandate this, it is a windfall for the insurance companies.
It certainly would be. The only way it wouldn't be a windfall for the insurance companies is if you create a public plan that is better than the private ones. And then theoretically, people would be more inclined to buy the public not-for-profit plan than the private ones, and so it wouldn't be a sop.
But it has to be affordable. I recently lost my job, and luckily I can afford COBRA. A lot of people don't have it because they can't afford COBRA.
Right. I've had to buy COBRA, and COBRA is extremely expensive.
And I'm also over 50, which it's going to be difficult to get a job. I mean, your last three callers were right on point. You know, the businesswoman, the gentleman, and the woman before him. These issues, people are starting to live in tents because they're losing their home because of health insurance. And, you know, I think there should be a mandate on the health insurance companies to cover people and not get to drop them like they have been for the last 10, 20 years.
Well, in fairness, that is starting to get into the debate. And I mentioned this at the top of this discussion in the last hour, which is that nationally the health insurance companies have said that they will support rules to prevent people from being denied coverage based on a quote-unquote pre-existing condition in exchange for a mandate that everybody is covered. Now, I think they should be forced to not persecute people for pre-existing conditions as a matter of principle, regardless of whether there's a mandate. But it shows you how quickly and how dramatically this debate is moving, that you now have the health insurance industry so sure that health care reform is coming that they're moving to try to get out in front of it. So in that sense, I'm very, very encouraged that this whole debate is moving in the right direction. I mean, 18,000 people to 20,000 people die every year because they don't have access to quality health insurance and therefore can't afford quality health care coverage. Quality health care. And so this debate is moving in the right direction, and that's why we opened up the AM760 Progressive Dojo to go back and forth about this issue of whether we should mandate coverage, because we know, we've learned so many times before, that the devil is always in the details. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Michelle.
Hi, David.
Hi there.
Hi. You know, you're right about a single risk pool insurance is the most effective insurance. But the problem we have is subsidizing or mandating for-profit insurance. And I'll tell you, U.S. insurance, health insurance, is an investment vehicle, and they practice the denial management. They game the system by denying, delaying, and reneging on claims. It's a $20 billion industry of denial management. But
a friend of mine says that when you buy health insurance, you're not really buying health care. You're buying the right to argue with your insurance company about what they will and will not cover. That's all you're really buying.
And it's crushing primary care because doctors have to hire extra staff just to deal with thousands of different insurances, different insurance forms.
I know it. My dad is a doctor, and he, you know, in his office back in Philadelphia, he has to hire for every hospital they go into, they got to hire a certain number of people just to deal with all the paperwork.
Well, yeah, and you know, T.R. Reid, when he showed his wonderful documentary, Sick Around the World, to the HHS committees down at the Capitol in December, he talked about in Germany, they have over 200 private insurances in Germany, but they perform strictly an administrative function. They're not a for-profit. So what they do at the end of the year to equalize risk is that the companies that end up the year in the black share their income with the companies that end up in the red. And, you know, you can't imagine doing that in this country, but in Minnesota, they legislated not-for-profit insurance in the 90s. And what happened was the insurances practiced Enron-style bookkeeping to hide their profits, and then they got control of the legislature, and they got control of the Division of Insurance. So it did not work. What we have to do is depoliticize, you know, the healthcare system and get the moneyed corporate interests out of it.
I definitely agree. I mean, you're not going to get no argument from me on this. The question is whether, I mean, I don't, as I read it, this mandate doesn't mandate that you have to go into for-profit insurance. It mandates that you would have to be insured in some way. And so that's why I say the devil's in the details. I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you be opposed to this if we created a public insurance option that the mandate would apply to as well?
As long as you can regulate the for-profit, you know, the problem with that is the adverse selection, because if all of if they're still cherry picking, if the for-profit insurances are still making money and we're subsidizing them, and then all the sickest people end up in the public insurance, then it's not going to work right. But if you can make it so it's a level playing field, you know, perhaps, if it's truly the problem I'm saying is regulating the private insurances.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's been bills in the legislature in the past. It's not just that the health insurance companies are powerful enough to resist regulation. In the last legislative session, they managed to water down a bill simply asking for a little bit of transparency about what money, what they do with their money. State Representative at that point, Morgan Carroll, had sponsored a bill to mandate more transparency, just so we know how much they're paying out in benefits versus how much they're taking in premiums. And the industry went insane. This is one of the most powerful industries in our political process, and I agree with you.
And that's another problem, is that you've got over 1,000 insurances, with each with their own proprietary data that they don't share. So you can't even do best practices based on outcomes,
because you don't even know. It's a giant black box.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
Michelle, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
919. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Open question of this final hour of today's show: do you support the concept at the heart of State Representative Joe Rice's bill to mandate, to force you to buy health insurance? I was a big supporter, and if you listen to this show, you knew I was, of State Representative John Kafalas's bill to create a universal single-payer health care system in this state. That bill unfortunately went down. State Representative Rice said that he subsequently offered up this bill because he wants to get the health care debate moving towards universal health care. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
David, it looks like the morning commute is starting to wrap up for us. Only spot I'm seeing some really, really slow speeds westbound Turnpike on 36 heading towards Boulder, McCaslin to Foothills. Still in the teens there. Around town here in Denver, not so bad. Live in Aurora, southbound side of 225. Heavier volumes from Parker Road to 25, but speeds are starting to jump back up. Also on southbound 25 from 70 past Spear, going to be busy there, as well as the northbound side from the bridges to around 6th Avenue. Also seeing the daily construction get set up in Golden at 58 and Washington Avenue. Also County Line Road at University, and also Arapahoe Road between Colorado and Holly. Your forecast: mostly sunny, breezy, and warm. A high of 81. Right now, 66 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The new DexKnows.com.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond. The ideal cut diamond is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
Please leave a message
message after the beep.
Hey, it's me, NBC Thursday Night. You know, the one that's after Wednesday but before Friday. Just thought I'd call and say thanks for watching all my new shows last week. Remember the all-new Parks and Recreation when Amy Poehler said that thing you thought was funny? And there were all-new episodes of Earl, The Office, and 30 Rock. Then at 10, 9 Central, there was Southland, that new drama critics are calling gripping and suspenseful. Yes, that was me, NBC Thursday. So how about we do that again this week? Thank God it's not Friday, you know?
Then watch Colorado's news leader, 9 News at 9 and 10. Tonight on 9 News, toilets gone, countertops gone, cabinets, appliances, doors going, going, gone. Homes in foreclosure stripped to the walls.
If you can come off right now, thank you.
9 wants to know, found out tenants keep the cash while you get the bill.
Why were you selling the stuff?
Jace Larson investigates.
Because it's my house and I can do that.
Really? Everything must go. Tonight on 9 News at 9 and 10. Yep, even the kitchen sink.
Hey everybody, I'm Julie. I got a little money and planet-saving tip for you. You know, you can get a great price on a Brita water pitcher at Walmart. My family loves the great-tasting water, but we also love how it can help the planet. Because using one pitcher is like replacing 300 of those 16.9-ounce water bottles. So if all 200 million of us Walmart shoppers used one, that'd be like there were 60 billion fewer water bottles out there. So that's really refreshing. And hey, at these prices, we can all make a difference.
Budget-friendly prices, earth-friendly products. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Debt, bankruptcy, and hiring a debt settlement company are not your only options. In fact, did you know that credit card debt can be wiped out in as little as 60 days without bankruptcy? Call 800-877-5000 and learn how to qualify. Now more than ever, credit card companies will work with Colorado residents to actually forgive most of your debt without bankruptcy. And unlike bankruptcy and debt settlement scams, no upfront fees are required. You can get started on this program without paying a dime in fees. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. TheCreditCardLawyers.com. TheCreditCardLawyers.com.
.23 here on the Front Range. 57 degrees going up to 78. If you're looking for me tonight, I'm probably going to drop by Mike Lux's book event, Tattered Cover and Lodo, starting at 7:30. If you're looking for me before then, I'll be on my patio, trying to do some work out in the sun. One of the fringe benefits of being a self-employed, somewhat struggling writer. 303-713-7600 is the number. Give us a call. Weigh in on the question of the final half hour or so here. Do you think we should mandate that everybody in Colorado buys health insurance? What do you think? That's the bill sponsored by State Representative Joe Rice of Littleton. We talked to him earlier. But now we want to hear from you. 303-713-7600. George in Lakewood, what do you think?
David, this is actually one subject that I know a whole lot about. I work with the tribe's been for 20 years now on health care and things like that. Okay, so we're actually in the process of reforming to move to a better solution because we have to provide the services that it's not working. So as a result, I've been doing a lot of research, okay? Lo and behold, my wife's been working for a local nonprofit insurance company here, actually the largest and probably one of the only ones remaining. They helped develop the S-CHIP program. They sued Medicare for wrongful reimbursements and won and turned all that power into trying to solve a larger issue, right? So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I fully believe that they shouldn't be making such a large profit off of our health. It's just not right, not moral. But besides that point, I believe that that belief is just the opposite at certain mid-level people within the administration and other places, as you know. And as a perfect example of that, in the recent PBS documentary about healthcare, which I think was on 2 weeks ago, we heard about it that the nonprofits were going to be showcased in that show. The president of the company was brought down to the feature, and they were showing the documentary. Everything was fine. But when it aired, all the information about the nonprofit, information about how it could help Americans, was completely edited out of the show. And now this is a PBS show. So, you know, and that's a local company here in Colorado that could have been very much helpful to everybody else in regards to information. But at the top, trying to manipulate the profit, information gets manipulated along the side. And then, of course, that all translates to high cost for all of us.
So where do you come down on the mandate?
I believe, first and foremost, that if we're going to do anything like this mandate, we need to take a broader stance, because it's just like you said, it's not just insurance, it's actually health care. So you have to go into the healthcare perspective, and this is so broad of an issue that the only way to actually handle it is to set something up called a federal charter, which is like tribes have the ability to create a federally chartered corporation, nonprofit. I mean, tax-exempt for-profit, tribes can do that. But they, they see it as the way that some major people, say like Senator Daschle sees it, is that with this health board in place, you'd be able to negotiate the price on everything and be able to not pick and choose between whether somebody's covered or not. It means that if somebody needs it worse than somebody else, you'll be able to go and negotiate on their behalf and bring that cost down. And as a result, putting all those people in volumes of scale benefits everybody.
Who's able to negotiate?
The health board would be this national health board.
I see. And, I should say.
And just as a byproduct, because technology is delivering health care, see, having a health board in place allows for the cost justification to deliver health care and say to the local telephone company, hey, these guys are giving me health care. I need to upgrade my copper wire to fiber, and now I can go after that broadband money and start delivering preventative health care to the home, thus driving the cost down as well.
And I should say, this is the kind of thing that was debated and passed one house of the legislature in Wisconsin to create a state health board to negotiate on behalf of society, for health care and for health care benefits with providers, with insurers. And that is more of a single payer model. And what's coming through here from everybody is that the devil is always in the details here, that any of these concepts, single payer, mandating health insurance, so many of the decisive issues about healthcare are going to really come down to what will seem like esoteric debates. And here's my pledge to you. We here at this show will do the best possible job that we can to draw out those esoteric issues and really debate them out here. And one of the big ones, obviously, starting on a big one, is what are the implications of mandating people to buy health insurance, and what are the other issues that come under that? And as we've heard, mandating people to buy health insurance without insurance reform and without the creation of a public plan is probably a pretty bad idea. That's just a subsidy to the insurance industry. Thanks for the call. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to, let's see, Jim in Weld County. Jim.
Hey, David, doing a great job on Jay's show.
Thanks.
I sure hope Jay gets well soon.
Me too.
I apologize for jumping into your Friday show a little early here, but in reference to the for-profit issue related to the insurance business, I can't help but always think of these insurance executives and their focus groups and whatnot sitting around and being somewhat similar to, say, Beetlejuice when he was at his wedding and they were about to say Beetlejuice for the third time. and he just has this absolutely freaked look on his face.
Right.
As well, Bela Lugosi, when he is in the vicinity of the silver crucifix, hissing like a wild goose. And somehow or another, those things just absolutely come straight into my mind when I'm thinking about how the business in general, as it stands currently, must respond whenever they hear us beginning to speak about the potential for some kind of a system that does not have profit as the essential ingredient. In a its original inception, Blue Cross Blue Shield was not for profit. And certainly there isn't any reason, other than the fact that it's been lobbied out of existence, for us not to consider that form of a system. The mandating business, mandate always gets you into trouble, but the idea that we would have a not-for-profit system that actually worked one way or another without enabling the people who would have us retain this idea that we need to have some kind of a gatekeeper in front of us would be beneficial, I think.
Well, let me say this about the not-for-profit model. I think it's less a question of not-for-profit and more a question of private versus public. And by that I mean, the reason I say that is because not-for-profit companies that are privately held can still be, can do a lot of bad things. Can still in a lot of ways seem like a for-profit company. I mean, you can work in a not-for-profit company and pay your executives zillions of dollars. That's not-for-profit because the money that you pay to your executives in terms of salaries is not considered profit. Not-for-profit means you're not taking the extra money you make after paying for all your overhead, all your salaries, everything, and then giving it out to shareholders. But obviously within there's a whole range of possibilities for companies to behave just as badly as for-profit companies. You want to pay your CEO a zillion dollars. You know, you want to buy big buildings in downtown areas. You want to spend on lavish parties for employees. I mean, so to me, the question is less for-profit, not-for-profit, and more public or private. Because really, the only way you can guarantee that you get what you want out of the when we talk about not-for-profit, what we're saying is healthcare that's administered in a way that's not thinking about profit. The only way you can get that is if the healthcare system is in part under public control, or at the very minimum, serious public regulation. Thanks for the call. 934, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Do you support State Representative Joe Rice's bill to mandate everybody in Colorado buy health insurance? I'm basically for it as long as we create a serious public health insurance option that everybody can afford. And as long as we expand Medicaid to make sure that those who can't afford it get good coverage. I am not for a health insurance mandate if you don't do those things. If you're just going to create a subsidy for the private health insurance industry, I am not for a mandate. That's where I am. Where are you? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
David, traffic really shaping up for us as we're wrapping the morning commute. Westbound 36, though, still seeing some slower speeds. McCaslin to Foothills, still in the teens and 20s there. That's a little bit unusual. No accidents to report in that stretch. Around town here in Denver and Aurora, things getting back to normal. Speeds popping into the 40s and 50s now on 25, heading in and out of downtown. Also on 225 there, southbound side. Going to see some heavy volumes, but speeds are getting better there from Parker Road down to 25. Your forecast today, another nice one, mostly sunny. A high around 80 for the first time this year. Right now, 66 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the NBA playoffs is on TNT. The Celtics showed veteran poise to even the series. Now, can the Bulls take the lead at home? Then the Jazz look to regroup against the Lakers. Don't miss Celtics-Bulls Game 3 and Lakers-Jazz Game 3 tonight at 6 on TNT.
There's a lot of Americans out there who are worried about how much tax they're going to pay. There's also a lot...
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the 8 Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lush Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
These are difficult times. You juggle your bills, decide what won't get paid this month, and make minimum payments on your credit cards for as long as you can. Then, before you know it, you're in danger of losing your home or facing a possible bankruptcy, and the collection calls never seem to end. Well, here's something the credit card companies don't want you to know. With the help of Century First, you can settle your credit card debt for thousands less than you owe, and consolidate what you do owe into one manageable monthly payment. Just call Century First now at 866-837-0616 for a free, no-obligation consultation. With Century First as your advocate, the pressure's off. They deal with your credit card companies directly, and you make one payment a month for less money than you owe right now. Don't fall into the trap of bankruptcy or foreclosure. Call 866-837-0616. Regain control without bankruptcy or foreclosure with Century First. There is another way out. 866-837-0616. Call Century First now. 866-837-0616.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all, "You got the job." More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or give them a call at 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
There's something special about neighborhood dining. The atmosphere is more relaxed and casual. The staff is attentive and friendly. Prices are affordable. And after your second visit, you become part of the family. Such is the case with Shells and Sauce, a small Italian bistro in the Congress Park neighborhood where the Pappas family has been doing business on the same block for over 25 years. The menu features a wide variety of pasta dishes, along with entrees of traditional chicken, eggplant or veal parmesan, linguine with fresh clams, balsamic glazed salmon steak, piccata of chicken, salmon or veal chop, and a grilled pork chop, as well as Marsala-style chicken or veal chop. Everything is made from scratch. They offer a full bar service and a mostly Italian wine list. Located at 2600 East 12th Avenue at Elizabeth, Shells and Sauce opens at 3 p.m. for happy hour, serving dinner every night but Monday, with brunch from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. It's a great spot for neighborhood dining, even if you don't live in the neighborhood. Call 303-377-2091.
All right, about 20 minutes left here on the Jay Marvin Show. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay. 57 degrees in Denver, going up to 78. Beautiful day here. I'll be at the Tattered Cover tonight for my friend Mike Lux's book event, Tattered Cover in Lodo. Starts at 7:30. Should be a good time. We had Mike on the show earlier this week. Let's go back to the phones. We're talking about State Representative Joe Rice's bill to mandate everybody in Colorado buy health insurance. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. We'll take the calls in the order that they were received. Brian in Fort Collins.
Hello, David. First of all, I want to thank you for bringing up this topic. It's extremely important. I've spent the last couple months since the election working with something called Progressive Democrats for America, and they have a health care, not warfare campaign, and basically are in favor of single-payer, improved and expanded Medicare for all. But, it's amazing to me. Everywhere I go, I run into people that this is an extremely important issue to them. And you've had some excellent callers, and I'll try not to repeat their points, but I certainly agree with what they've said. The mandated idea that Representative Rice is proposing, it hasn't worked in Massachusetts. They have about the same level of participation as they did before they passed mandated insurance, even though the bill or their law requires criminal penalties if you don't buy insurance. But you've mentioned a couple times that the flaw with all with resolving this is that you've used the phrase "devil is in the details," and I couldn't agree with you more. But the problem is that we get submersed in the details and we fail to take a 10,000-foot view of this, if you will. So there are two basic flaws with the current system. One is it's employer-based, and a lot of people have a vested interest in that. So, but it, you know, that leaves out people that retire, that, you know, change jobs. It creates a whole array of problems. So, but the other is, and you've touched on this a number of times, is the for-profit element that is in the current system. So, the frustration that I have run into in working for Progressive Democrats of America is that there is a simple solution to this. So, I mean, you don't have to get bogged down in the details. And if a couple of people have mentioned T.R. Reid, when he did Sick Around the World, he looked at a variety of systems. He looked at England and Germany and Japan, Switzerland. And but the last place he went was Taiwan. And Taiwan evaluated all the other systems in the world. They had a Harvard professor that, you know, was from Taiwan that they asked to do the evaluation. And he concluded that the best system available in the world is Medicare. The only problem with Medicare is we only insure the high-risk group, the people that are 65 and older. So then people want to say, oh, well, there are all these cost problems with Medicare. But if you had a single-payer system like Medicare, you could control costs, and that is the last flaw that there is with, I don't know if he's a senator or representative, but Joe Rice's plan is simply requiring people to buy health insurance will not do anything to control costs, and it won't do anything to control the profits. And you mentioned we need a public option. People have proposed that. It's in the Kennedy-Baucus proposal. And, you know, I don't want to say absolutely not to that, but it's not as good an idea as single-payer, expanded, and improved Medicare for all.
I don't think it is as good an idea. I mean, I absolutely don't think it's as good an idea. The question is whether it's a bad idea. The question is whether in lieu of single-payer, should we move forward with it? And we have to ask that question now that State Representative Kefalas' bill went down and was unfortunately didn't pass. And that's the question, and the devil remains in the details. You can have a bad mandate. You can have a mandate that doesn't work, that makes things worse, and you can have a good mandate, I think. And so I think that's really where we are right now. I think your point about the employer-based healthcare system is a particularly important one that doesn't get enough attention. And my issue with the employer-based healthcare system, by making it employer-based, you strengthen your employer. You strengthen the hand of your employer, right? If you're a worker at a company, when you demand a raise, when you demand workplace rights, when you make any request of your employer, you are potentially not only risking being fired and losing your job, losing your wages, but losing your health care. So that unduly empowers your employer, gives your employer so much more power over you. And we are not going to really solve the healthcare system unless we, at some point, take healthcare out of the hands of employers. And by the way, I think a lot of employers don't want to deal with healthcare. But they see it as an undue expense on them. Now, obviously, there would need to be an expense on them in a universal single-payer healthcare system. We'd have to deal with our taxes to finance that system. But if you spread the costs all throughout the economy, the costs of the new taxes to pay for health care are going to be less than what we're paying in our current, less of the an expenditure than we're paying right now in our economy on health care in a single payer system, because we would simplify the system. There wouldn't be as much paperwork that costs so much money. And we'd be able to spread out that increase. And for employers who are already paying for health care, the amount of taxes they'd have to pay into a single payer system would likely be far less than they're paying to cover their employees right now. Thanks for the call. 946 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Just want to mention to folks that if you want a health status, speaking of health care, on Jay Marvin, go to www.am760.net and click on Jay's page. We've linked to the Westward story that will update you on Jay's status. And please put your thoughts and prayers with him, especially this week, but moving forward. He's having a tough go of it right now. Okay, back to the phones. We'll go to Ron in Denver. Ron.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Thanks for this great discussion. I believe the only way we can make this whole healthcare system more fiscally responsible and efficient is to have everyone covered, so we've spread the risk and spread, you know, the financial risk. It's just critical to making this whole thing efficient and work.
What about the idea that the people who don't have health insurance right now are not choosing not to have health insurance, that they just can't afford it?
Well, I think that is a viable argument. Currently the way the system's structured, for those in the lower income brackets, there really aren't any alternatives for them that would be affordable. I think that if we can create more efficiencies within the system that covers folks, that it would provide that opportunity. In fact, maybe at a certain level, people who are at a lower income level wouldn't have to pay anything, or just pay a modest amount, but they would be covered.
I mean, that's my worry with this mandate. My worry with this mandate, if I have a word, well, first of all, the devil's in the details, but secondly, I'm afraid that we're treating the wrong perceived problem. Mm-hmm. That a mandate seems to imply that, look, people can buy health insurance. There's a segment of the population that could buy health insurance that's just deciding not to buy it, and so if we mandate it, those people will be forced to buy it. Now, I'm sure there are certainly a few folks out there who just decide not to buy health insurance. But the vast majority, according to the data, the vast majority of people who don't have health insurance want to have it but can't afford it. And so my only concern, not my only, my main, one of my major two concerns of the healthcare mandate is that the problem is that people can't afford health insurance. It's not that they're choosing not to have it. And that if you, it's kind of like in New York City, right, when Rudy Giuliani outlawed homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean, like no, when you outlaw homelessness, what are you really doing, right? If people don't, you know, it's like, oh, people are homeless because they're choosing to, so I'm just going to make a law saying it's illegal. That doesn't actually solve the problem of homelessness.
No, that's right. And that's why I think it's unfortunate that Representative Gefalas withdrew his bill. It's too bad it never came to an up or down vote so that a few elected officials got put on the spot.
He said.
Find out where people are really at.
I wish it would have come to a vote. He said he was going to fall one vote short. I wish it would have come to a vote. I completely agree with you, Ron.
I'd like to see who that one vote was.
Yeah.
I think they need to answer for that.
Look, that's why I'm always of the belief the more open votes in a legislature, mm-hmm. the more things you get people on record for, the better, because that helps us keep our representatives accountable. Ron, thanks for the call.
Thank you, David.
950, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We'll try to get to as many of your calls as possible. We'll do a rapid-fire call session after this, the final break of the show. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, Dave, there's really nothing to talk about. As far as traffic is concerned, we have made our full recovery this morning. Speeds back in the 50s and 60s on all the highways around town. I don't see any accidents, stalls, or delays. We do see some construction that's been going on pretty recently. You will see it in Golden, Highway 58 at Washington. Also, Arapahoe Road in between Colorado and Holly Street. And in the Littleton Highlands Ranch area, county line around University. Your forecast today, mostly sunny and breezy and warm, a high of 81 degrees. Right now we're at 68 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
A Colorado Pass is on sale for last spring's low price of only $439. Pay only $49 down for unlimited access to Breckenridge, Keystone, A-Basin, and 10 days at Vail and Beaver Creek. Go to ColoradoPass.com for sales locations and details.
This handshake that President Obama had with Hugo Chavez has just got...
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts. Cancer-causing chemicals? That's right. Most mattresses are filled with synthetic materials that are unhealthy for you and the environment. The Natural Sleep Store carries the highest quality organic mattresses, including the customer favorite, Savvy Rest. Visit their showrooms in Denver or Fort Collins and mention this ad to receive a 10% discount plus free delivery when you purchase an organic mattress. Get healthy and buy organic. For details, visit thenaturalsleepstore.com. That's thenaturalsleepstore.com.
Your 401k is in danger. Your IRA is in trouble. The U.S. paper dollar is unstable. As you hear me talk, you're losing net worth fast. To make matters worse, huge government spending is devaluing your money even faster. High rates of inflation are rolling toward you like a tidal wave of loss. Don't just sit there. Do something. Buy gold now, direct and wholesale with United Gold Group.
Gold prices have tripled since 2001, and many experts predict the prices will climb another 100%. The demand is strong, and the timing may never be better. When you buy from us, you're buying direct and getting wholesale prices. Call us and learn what other gold companies don't want you to know.
United Gold's 2009 Investors Kit will supply you with everything you need to know about the advantages of buying gold direct, cutting out the middleman. Your Gold Investors Kit is yours absolutely free if you call now. 800-670-5480. Supplies are limited, so call right away. You'll also get the secrets on how to own gold in your retirement account. Call now. 800-670-5480. 800-670-5480.
The Arizona Memorial is a reminder of the important legacy we in the military have to protect our country.
The Arizona Memorial is about bringing our country together to stand victorious.
A new visitor center and museum must be built.
To help, go to PearlHarborMemorial.com.
Or call toll-free 1-866-332-1941. Remember,
understand,
honor,
and give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. All right, everyone's got no more than 45 seconds. We can get everybody who's holding in right now. Here we go. Elaine and Aurora, 45 seconds. Hello, Elaine.
Hi. I have the feeling that this requirement would make the general public like fish for the insurance companies to shoot at. After all, they will have to insure everybody, so the only way they can afford to do that, because so many of us have conditions, they'll have to raise rates. And what happens if you get sick and you do not have insurance? Are they going to put you in jail? Or are they going to fine?
Well, that's another devil in the details, right? We don't know what they're going to do. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, here's the problem. You do an insurance mandate, and you don't do any price control on what the and premium control on what the insurance companies can charge you. All you've done is basically locked people in a prison.
Yes.
With insurance companies that would be allowed to basically torture us.
Right. I already have Medicare and supplement, and I fell into the donut hole last August.
You lost your coverage.
I have got so much in the way of maintenance medications that in August I hit the limit, and I had to start paying. I had to come up with over $4,000 out of my own pocket or quit taking my medication.
Yeah, it's really, really an immoral system when you get, especially when you get to the donut. Elaine, hang in there. Keep up the good fight, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Gene in Denver, you got 45 seconds. Gene.
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, my love to Jay. I'm a senior. Medicare is not what people think it is, as the other lady said. My rates have gone up you must have a supplement. You can't, it wouldn't work. My rates have gone up in the last 5 years, $900 more a year.
$900 more a year, wow.
More a year. I mean, yeah. That's been over 5 years. The last year, my rates have gone, this is Blue Cross. And I've had Blue Cross all my life, and they have been sold, so they're not even the same Blue Cross. They raised me when I turned 80. Then they raised me when everybody else was raised. I'm still 80, and they raised me again.
Man, the healthcare system is just, when you hear stories like that, you just know that there is something deeply, deeply wrong. And I'm not saying you're endorsing the mandate, but what I'm saying is that when you hear something like that, it just reiterates to me why any step forward, any positive step forward, even if it's a small step forward, is a good one. All right, last call of the day. Jane in Westminster, you got 45 seconds. Jane.
Hey, if we require a mandated insurance coverage for everybody, then I stipulate that we also mandate guaranteed, not-for-profit, mandated benefits from every insurance company, whether they're for-profit or not-for-profit. Cover such things as preventive care, routine exams, well baby care, prenatal care, vaccinations, screenings, testing supplies, and prescription drugs. All have to be at not-for-profit.
And what you're saying is that if we're going to give the insurance companies a gift, which is what a mandate is, right? We're guaranteeing customers for the insurance companies.
Exactly.
If we're going to do that, then it's got to come with some responsibilities. They shouldn't get to get the gift of a mandated customer base without having to agree to certain terms. Absolutely 100% agree. We've been for too long, our government, state government, and our federal government has been giving things away to corporate America and not demanding anything in return, and it's time to turn that around, especially on an issue like healthcare. Thanks for the call, Jane. All right, this has been the Thursday edition of the Jay Marvin Show. I'm David Sirota. I've been filling in here. I'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Movie Friday. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to go over. You're just going to have to tune in tomorrow. Between now and then, I'll be somewhere either on my patio in the sun or at the tattered cover tonight for my friend Mike Lux's book event. Until then, make sure to get outside. See you tomorrow.
Golfsmith's National Trading.
The Douglas County Democratic Party invites you to join them at their 5th annual Clinton Carter Dinner on Saturday, April 25th. This dinner has it all. Great speakers like Governor Bill Ritter, the National Director of Progress Now, Michael Huttner, and Andrew Romanoff as the MC, plus live entertainment and a silent auction. Be part of the new energy that's turning Douglas County blue. Tickets can be purchased at douglasdemocrats.org or call 303-907-8961.
A tree can absorb as much carbon in a year as a car produces while driving 26,000 miles. Creekside Tree Nursery celebrates the tree at their season opening April 24th. Creekside Tree Nursery has the highest quality stock with the best selection and best prices in all of Boulder County. Visit them.